You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
All right, Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm not Scott.
And I am not John.
And this is episode 128. Big night. It's a big day, Scott.
It is a big day.
It is 420. Couple of great things.
We are recording on 420.
420, that's correct. One thing is there's only 275 days left of the W's reign over us.
275 days.
That's right.
For him to fuck up even more, John.
That's right. And 420. Phrases such as 420 friendly sometimes appears in roommate advertisements indicating that the current occupants are tolerant of cannabis users.
Tolerant or that they partake?
They partake also.
Yes, I would think that if you put that in a personnel ad, that it would mean that you were a partaker. Jim.
Partaker, as well as tolerant of it. You're 420 friendly. 420 is a term used in North America as a way to refer to the consumption of cannabis and, by extension, a way to identify oneself with a drug subculture around cannabis, Scott.
Out of sight, John.
You like my radio voice there? See what happens when I don't take my high blood pressure pill?
I guess so.
Notice the
I didn't know you were taking high blood pressure pills.
Yeah, when I do, I'm like, hey, man.
Hey, man.
Yeah, right, yeah. Huh? What? What did you say? Yeah. So what a weekend.
Before we get to the weekend, John, I have a quick story about my week. Did this happen on the weekend? No, it did happen on the weekend. Let me tell it anyway.
All right.
I'm all out of sorts. So the lovely wife and I took our son over to Highland Park to go shopping. You ever been to Highland Park, downtown Highland Park?
No.
Gold Coast area.
Oh, yeah.
Very well-to-do people, right? So my wife and son are in a store, and I've had it with my son. I'm like, I can't take it anymore.
To punch him in the
Either
face.
Either I get to smack him or I need to leave. So the wife said, well, just leave. So I left. I went back to the car. I'm in the truck. I'm parked outside of Fifth Avenue. And I see this woman walk by with her little toy dog on a leash, right? I watch her. I'm in a parked car and I watch. And she goes into Saks Fifth Avenue with her dog.
Oh.
But she stops, turns around, takes the dog back to like this concrete potting plant thing.
Yeah.
And has her dog urinate on it. Then she goes into the store with the goddamn dog.
Nice.
And I'm thinking, what kind of a fucking asshole do you have to be to bring a dog to go shopping?
Right. I know, man.
A dog's got to be worse than bringing a kid shopping.
Yeah.
We had our two dogs, and they, because what we did is we're taking our puppy to obedience training. So we bring both dogs. We make one downstay while the other one's in class. So I had my dogs in the back of the truck, and I'm thinking, you think they'd let me stroll in with my two dogs? No.
No, no way.
But this lady.
I'd like to see that, though.
Yeah. I really thought about grabbing my two dogs and walking into Saks Fifth Avenue. Oh, and letting them shit on the right before we
right there.
Walked in the door, too.
Yeah. That's great, man.
So, just what an ass.
Right.
What an ass. I mean, who wakes up in the morning and says, you know what? I'm going to go shopping with my dog today, and I'm going to take my dog shopping. What a pain. Leave your goddamn dog at home. Go shopping.
Yeah, I know. I don't understand that. That's a bunch of shit. You know, I had a similar story. We were at Wix, and they were closing, and my kids were completely annoying. Oh, can I have this in my room? I want this big mirror. How about this? And my son, for some reason, he just, no, is not, it doesn't register anywhere. My daughter finally gets it, but my son, he figures, he works other angles to get his question across. Okay, well, how about this way? You know, and he's a genius at the way he turns the question. I mean, he approaches you at different directions with different ways of the argument and justifying his need.
Do you praise that ability, that reasoning ability?
Yes.
Thinking and, outside the box?
Yeah, yes and no, but because he doesn't apply it to, like, schoolwork or anything like that. It's only about what he can get from us. So I finally had enough of him. So I said, Nathan, get over here right now. Now. Right here. Get over here. If you don't get over here right now, I'm going to break your arm. And it was like the fucking scene in a movie where somebody walks in and the record scratches and everybody looks at you.
Mm-hmm.
The whole place stopped and looked at me. At me. I'm like, I'm just kidding, buddy. Hey, come here. Ah, rough little guy.
Come here. Mess up his hair.
Yeah. Yeah, I almost got tased.
Oh, yeah, right on.
I would have been tased after that.
Well, I just, this week, my son would not listen. I mean, my daughter's never had an issue listening. My son, it's like, I guess it's gender specific. At least that's the way my wife says it. It's because she talks to me and I don't listen. So we're talking to him, telling him stuff. He just doesn't listen. So I took his two dinosaurs. He has these two favorite dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And I walked him over. I said, here's what you get for not listening. I walked him over to the recycling bin, and I threw the dinosaurs in the recycling
bin. Nice.
So just like your son, he, over the course of the next 24 hours or until the recycling was picked up, he approached me like with five or six different angles.
Yeah.
Of why I should really pull those dinosaurs out of the recycling bin and give it back to them.
They're going to be lonely, Dad.
I did pull them out, but I hid them in the garage.
Nice.
So as far as he knows, they're at the, you know, wherever they take garbage.
You know, I would have done the same thing, but before I put them in the recycle bin, I would have taken a garden shears and cut their heads off and then put them in the recycling bin.
Yeah, you know, we got...
There's no argument after that.
We got the new dog, and sometimes he gets a hold of some of my son's dinosaurs, and he'll bite a leg off or something. And my son flips out, and I'm like, hey, pretend he was in battle. Yeah. This is like a battle wound.
It's a battle sore.
Yeah, he doesn't want anything to do with it. Like,
no.
One, he had a white tiger,
yeah,
and the dog chewed the tiger's face off. And I said, this would be a great, you know, the tiger and the dinosaur meet, and the dinosaur chews his face off. Yeah, my son wasn't going for it at all. No.
That's a good one, though. I got to remember that when I, like, rip a G.I. Joe head off or something. He was in battle, and he lost.
Yeah, he got caught by
to
the
Achilles.
Jihadists.
The jihadists. He was Daniel Pearl.
Oh, that's not funny.
I'm sorry.
Come on. That's did you see that movie?
Taste. No.
With the Angelina Jolie?
No.
Yeah, me neither. Who would want to go see that?
I don't know.
I wouldn't.
So depressing.
Maybe Daniel Pearl's family?
I don't know.
I don't know, man.
Bad joke.
I'm really struggling with the mic.
Why?
I just missed my B2 Pro. My B2. I stopped at the Guitar Center in... Was it in Highland? Maybe it's in Highland Park. And I said, hey, man, you got the B2 Pro?
Hey, man.
No. We're out of stock. So I'm gonna on Musician's Friend and order it online. I miss my B2 Pro, man. I miss it.
I know. Like I said, the Behringer stuff, it just it doesn't hold up to banging around.
Yeah, this new mic
equipment.
I get I'm just going to leave here. And then the other one, I'll try to work with it all. You know, for promos and stuff.
Well,
all
why
this
don't
stuff.
You just get a regular mic for $20 like the one you're talking to do?
No.
What's, what's wrong with that one, man? Sounds good.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
It's producer of the year, man. I can
make
any mic sound good.
No doubt.
You give me the most piece of shit mic, and I'll EQ it and compress it, and it'll sound beautiful.
Oh, one other thing that happened to me during the week, I'm listening to the radio or something, and I hear an ad for AshleyMadison.com.
What's that?
Apparently, it's for married people to go online and make connections with other married people so that they can have affairs.
What?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. And they pretty much, that I just summed up their commercial,
dude,
right?
Ixnay
on that. Ixnay on that?
Ixnay, yeah.
Why?
I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, okay.
No, go ahead.
Oh, all right. So anyway.
Duh.
So I heard the commercial and I went online, and sure enough, it's for married couples to hook up, not the couples, but married people to hook up with other married people to have affairs.
Wow.
I can't believe it. And they're advertising that. This country's going to hell. And I think Fred Phelps has got it right, man. God's wrath. Or whoever that a-hole is that said that God is vomiting on the sun. That's what's causing global warming.
What? Who said that?
We covered that story, I don't know, 20 podcasts ago.
Oh.
Some guy from Florida. You played clips from him.
Oh.
From John Stewart. The guy's a total lunatic.
Oh, right.
He was all bent out of shape that Al Gore's movie was played at his kids, or was going to be played at his kids' school.
Oh, that's right.
And he said, if you want to present this global warming, then present it what's really happening. God's vomiting on the sun, and it's causing extra heat because he's pissed off. And it's because of AshleyMadison.com. So now I'm trying to figure out, well, I'm so curious to know how this works. And I want to find people that I know that are cheating or that are involved with AshleyMadison.com. But how do you present that to your wife, you know? Like Pete Townsend.
This is research.
Yeah, honey. I want to go online and research child porn. It just doesn't work.
No.
Yeah. So if anybody in our listening audience is a member of AshleyMadison.com, send us an email, tell us how it works, or give us a phone call and leave a message.
Yes, at 847. TTN Jizzed, 847 TTN GIZD, 847. What is it, Scott?
I have no idea.
889-4493.
Yeah, whatever you said, man.
847-889-4493.
Right on.
Give us a call.
Oh, yeah. One more story from the week. The other thing that happened to me is I have a meeting at work. So I have to, we have a couple of different buildings. So I have to run over to another building for this meeting. So I'm meeting with this woman, and this her boss is supposed to show up. So her boss shows up, and she walks in, and I'm like, boy, she looks so familiar, but I cannot place her in context of
you
work.
You look familiar.
Familiar. So the meeting ends, and the one woman leaves, and the woman that looks familiar to me sticks around. And she says, so Scott, you don't remember me? And I said, but you know, you look really familiar. But I just don't remember you in context of work. And I think that's what I'm struggling with. And
right.
She said, well, we were in the class together at DePaul.
Oh.
Right. So this is the class I was in. So this woman that I work with. Knows that I do a podcast.
Oh, boy.
Knows about the Arabie video. I don't know if you remember this, John, but the first day of class, my teacher thought I was a racist because of the way I interpreted Malcolm X. I don't know if we ever talked about that on
We did.
It was a podcast,
I think it was a podcast, Skype cast.
Yeah. So it was really an awkward moment for me. Because I don't want people at work to know that I do this podcast.
I know.
You know what I'm saying?
I know. I mentioned it to a couple people, and now they're always talking. Oh, hey, you know what? Our president somebody said to him, "Hey, I heard you did a podcast. That's great. How do I catch it?" Punkyradio.com. Check it out.
I do this impression of an English guy
named Pauly B.
Well, it wouldn't bother me if people listened, if they were regular listeners, because
yeah. The first time is a shocker.
It could be a shocker, or if you hear just a snippet of it.
Yeah.
But if you listen,
and don't get the context.
Right. It's all about the context. It's all about the satire.
What?
It's all about the exchange of ideas, John, and it's all about the nonsense, the stupidity.
Well, the great thing is the president of my company is an atheist. I told that story, didn't I?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the beauty.
Right on.
So he'd get it. As a matter of fact, I ran into an older president of our company, and he was like, introduced me to a major customer of ours, and he went on about me, how great I am and everything. And I said,
of course,
stop,
who
it,
wouldn't?
Stop it.
Who wouldn't?
And
I do all the time.
This guy goes like to Willow Creek like every day, you know. And then our new president is exactly the opposite, right?
Right.
And so I said, yeah, our new president, man, he tells the best dirty jokes. And he goes, yeah, I had to talk to him, man. He's got to stop doing that because he tells them in mixed company, man, and there could be a lawsuit. And at that moment, I kind of laughed and went, yeah. And then I thought, Jesus Christ. What kind of a society do we live in now that a distasteful joke could end you up in a lawsuit? It's so fucked up.
It's because we got too many goddamn lawyers in this country.
I mean, I could understand being offended and saying, hey, man, I was really offended by that. And then getting an apology. Hey, you know, I didn't mean to offend you.
And then you move on.
Trying to be funny, and it was lame. Sorry. But,
like a Fred Flintstone joke?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Hey, look, I got into it with a black guy once who had heard me laughing hysterically to a black joke. And I apologized. I said, hey, man, if I offended you, I didn't mean to. That wasn't the point. To me, those jokes are they're so outrageous. The stereotypes are so outrageous that the whole idea and the picture you get from them is funnier than shit. Don't tell me there's not as many jokes going in the other direction. And I'd like to hear them because I think they're funny, you know, either way. So, yeah, we made our peace, as I said before.
Right.
You know.
Right on, John.
Well, I had to bring it up since you brought up the Flintstone joke, you ass.
Which can be heard on this podcast. Somewhere. I don't know where. We should clip that out. Oh, you know, I forgot to clip out my latest stupidity to include in our stupid library from last week. I'll do that for next week. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Viola?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Voila.
Oh, that reminds me. I forgot to cut out a comment that we got on MySpace. MySpace.
What did it say?
It was very, very excited about our discussions that we've had about Ben Stein and intelligent design. And I think that the person is a molecular biologist.
Really?
Possibly.
I could read it right now if you'd like.
Oh, you got it right now? Well, hold on. Do you want to get into email, comments, shit like that right now?
Sure.
We need to still talk about our night. Last night, John.
Oh, right, right.
And what we did, but we'll cover that after emails and comments.
Yeah. Who's starting? You? Me?
Go ahead with the MySpace, and then we'll get into email.
Okay, MySpace. This is from Haggis Vitae. Show 127 was a hoot. Every time you guys go off on the whole intelligent design thing, I sit there and say, yes, out loud. After hearing about the insanity that is Ben Stein, I'd like to cut him into small pieces and shoot him into the sun. Do not ever stop this podcast ever, please. mad, mad, mad respect. That from Haggis Vitae.
That's what it's all about, John. Right there. That's what it's all about.
No doubt.
And we will be talking about Ben Stein coming up in a bit. I got this email. You know, last week in the middle of the show, we had some technical difficulties. My B2
right.
Pro started clicking.
Yeah. Click.
Like a pop sound. So we had to swap it out with, what do I have now? Like a Behringer $19.99
yeah.
mic. Hey, would Radio Shack... Would Radio Shack carry the B2 Pro?
No.
Okay. So I go to Guitar Center. They don't have it. And I got to tell you, I really miss my B2 Pro. But I did make the announcement that I may sound gayer with these other mics. That's the whole point, paying the expensive,
yeah.
the top dollar for the
right.
B2 Pro. Is it takes it removes the gayness, right? So I got a lot of emails. Very.
See, you can't end it like me, man.
No, I can't. So I got a lot of emails, very nasty emails about what about how gay I sound without my B2 Pro. But I did pull one from Abe, who was very respectful in his email.
You pulled one from
I
Abe.
I pulled an Abe.
Pulled run.
I did notice, here's what Abe says, Scott, I did notice a definite increase in the gayness in your voice after the mic change. But it is still better than that damn clicking sound. So hopefully by next week I will have a new B2 Pro
nice.
In studio, John.
I got an email. This will turn you on. It says, it's from Jeremy, one of our listeners. It says, John, I listened to episode 126 this morning, and as usual, I always love a good taser story, but I could not believe you went off on a rant about the police being overly aggressive to that guy in the Bentley who would not hand up his cell phone. Then, tonight I watched the entire video, and you have to agree, they were never nicer and more polite police in existence. Yeah, did I read that right?
I think
anyways,
so.
That rich prick Jagoff deserved every volt of taser love that he got. I cannot believe that after several minutes of struggling, the police were still calling him by name and asking him for to cooperate. I wish that they had forgotten that the camera was on, because I guarantee that his head would have been ground into the concrete. What a dick. You also omitted to mention on the podcast that he was drunk when they pulled him over. I am no fan of the police, but I have to admit that Scott totally trumped you on this one. Yes, sir. May I have another, sir?
Ha-ha! I'd have to disagree with one aspect of that. I think we did say that he was drunk.
Tetanously yours, Jeremy.
He was pulled over because he was drunk. But now that one thing that he brings up that I hadn't even considered is these cops knew that they were on camera.
Yeah.
That's why they were so goddamn polite.
They beat the piss out of them with right. a fucking baton.
Right. Can you imagine? You pull this cocksucker over.
Yeah,
he's
fuck you.
Flaunting.
I'm not giving you my fucking cell phone.
It's like this woman who walks in a goddamn store with a poodle.
Yeah.
You get enraged by that. That show of I'm super wealthy. I could do whatever the fuck I want. So these cops had to be going yeah. out of their goddamn minds. But because the cameras were on.
Right.
They were much more polite.
They're like, sir, can you put your cell phone down, please?
You cocksucker motherfucker!
No, sir, we'd like you to please step out of the car. Do not try to drive away. Please step out of the...
Goodbye, motherfucker!
All right. You hit him with the taser. That's it. Hit him.
Well, I spoke about this before that when did it run through their mind that they were going to get the taser this motherfucker? But I bet you when they walked up to the car, the Bentley, they were saying, oh, I just wish this guy
I hope I can
gives me an excuse
the fuck
right
out of this son of a bitch.
Tase this motherfucker. Sir, please get off the phone, sir. Mr. Please get off the phone.
Yeah.
I'm not getting off the phone.
You cocksucker, motherfucker!
You imagine he's all drunk and he says,
you cocksucker, motherfucker!
You motherfucker!
All right, John. So then last night, you and Rick.
No, hold on. I got one more thing.
One more. Okay.
Preston from the Websters.
Preston.
Yeah. He responded to a message I sent him on MySpace about the AVNs. He suggested we play some clips from the AVNs because they were, which is the adult, it's like the Oscars for adult films. And I told him, I said, hey, thanks. I couldn't find any of the new stuff from 2008, only 2007. I think maybe he thought I was like asking him if he could get me the sound clips. And I asked him if he could give us some of his tunes to play on the show. And he said they have a new CD out coming out in a couple of months. So as soon as I get some final mixes, I'll send them to you.
Nice.
Yeah. Although we're probably not metal enough for you dudes.
Oh, that's not true. Listen to the gay shit we play when we go on break.
Right. Wait till today. So anyways, he writes, I have bad news about the AVN sound clips. I went to hook everything up to the DVR, and that means he was actually getting me the clips, right? And found that the show had been erased. I asked my wife about it, and she said she thought I recorded the Porn Awards accidentally, so she deleted it for me.
Accidentally.
So she deleted it for me.
I want to know, did he mention how he responded to that? So, oh, right, it was an accident. Right. What? Yeah.
And he writes, his next sentence is just, fuck. And then he writes, maybe it's time to accidentally delete all those Oprah and Grey's Anatomy episodes that have been cogging all the memory on our TiVo. Yours in tetanus, presto. It's out of sight, isn't it?
We got to have him in the show just to ask him how he responded to that. No, it wasn't an accident. What are you talking about? Are you crazy?
No, she just didn't want it on there. What? Dude, what is this shit?
Or if it was like, well, you know, I did it for this show. I'm a fan of the show, and I, you know, that's the only reason I did it. It's okay that you deleted it.
Did what?
Well, that's how I would, oh, I would I frame the argument. Right.
It's your spin. Nice.
Yeah. It was a bad God. Call, honey. It was a bad call.
Oh, boy. Yeah, so, you were getting into last night.
Last night, our little you trip. And Rick came by. You said 8:15, but you showed up at 8:07.
13.
Whatever. No, 07 was way early. I'm not used to that. I'm used to doing things late.
I know. hey, I just got to go in and kiss my wife goodbye, and I'll be right out. Actually, I got to put my balls in the refrigerator. I'll be right back.
Well, yeah, I have to. Before I go out, I have to check my balls in.
I do, too. Yeah. I get a little Ziploc bag I put them in.
Check in. Here you go.
Here you go. Cha-ching. I get money back. You know, thank you.
I like when she keeps them frozen. When I put them back in, it's a nice
They're
sensation.
So much harder when yeah. I put them back in my sack.
So I go in, say goodbye to everybody, and then I head back out. We get in the car. We drive down to... Where is
Rogers
that?
Park?
It's like Rogers Park, and it abuts Evanston.
Yeah, it's spooky.
So the drive down,
some
the
black
actually,
guy was grabbing his balls.
Actually, trying to find a parking space takes longer than the drive down.
Yeah, yeah.
To Rogers Park,
and you
Park.
Spied a choice one.
Choice. It was choice.
Only
John.
5 blocks away.
Right on.
What are you, Darth Vader? Right on. Hey, the
yeah,
force is
the kids have been
within
watching that this week.
Hey, I got a good, that's a good impression. The force is strong within this one.
I'll do the
I just hit my teeth with the bottle. You would have been wise to listen to the master.
Does that stop? Does that stop
no,
when he starts
I've
speaking?
I've heard it actually going while he's talking.
Keeps like, going. All right,
you are a rebel spy and a traitor. Take her away.
So what are you doing there anyway? What is that?
What do you mean? I'm just talking into my bottle.
Into a bottle. Nice.
Yes, into the Miller Lite bottle.
Nice.
She's a spy and a traitor. Take her away. Rebel spy scum. Bend her over. She's really hot.
So we find a parking
spot. How come
spot?
They don't wear bras?
I don't know. How come?
In Star Wars.
I don't know.
I don't know. You notice Carrie's
it was a long, long time ago. They were just invented, right? It's a galaxy long.
Far, far away.
Far, far away and long, long ago.
Well, you'd think if they could fucking do jumper space or whatever, that they could figure out some way to contain Carrie Fisher's breasts when she's running.
Well, that's the whole problem with Star Wars. You can't travel as fast as the speed of light.
How do you know?
They didn't hear of Einstein? He told us that they couldn't.
No, because it was long, long ago.
Right.
It's before he was born.
Long, long ago in a galaxy far, far away. All right, then.
Anyway,
we're talking about? Oh, yeah, so we find a parking space. We walk 5 blocks, right? And we walk by the place. What is it called?
The No Exit Cafe.
No Exit Cafe, and we're there to see the Flying Cat Circus.
The Flying Cat Circus.
Right on. And what happens? We walk by, and what happens?
We walk by, and somebody jumps out the door and says, "Hey,
John Scott,
over here." This pretty cute looking chick. I don't know. She's Filipino. Was she Philippine?
I don't know.
Cute looking chick. It turns out it was Tom Britton's wife.
Right on.
Yeah, Tom Britton. He is Chicago Rocks. He is Flying Cat Circus.
Flying Cat Circus. Well, he's the host.
Yeah, he's the host
with the most.
And I have a poster here signed by everybody.
Everybody. There's three other people.
Yeah.
So we were invited down. So we went down for the last show of
last
a 6-week run.
Show.
And, the other cool thing is we brought our own wine.
Brought our own wine.
So we each brought a bottle of wine, and then we paid a $3 fee.
Corkage fee. Well, here's the great thing. Nowhere have we ever gone to some show or gig or just to a bar for that matter. Brought your own stuff. We paid, it was $10 to get in and a $3 corkage. So for each of us, it was $13. And we had our own bottles of wine. So we had a whole night out for $13 each.
$13.
I mean, you
John.
Cannot get a better deal anywhere.
Well, my bottle of wine was $4.99. So if you really want to factor that in, it's $18.
Right.
Around $18.
And that's way less than you paid when we played the gig at the Beacon, when all I heard about is you spent $50.
On booze.
I spent $50.
Yeah, why can't we just bring our own booze in and then
we
have the Beacon open it for us?
Corkage fee. So, yeah, I thought it was awesome, man.
I really enjoyed it. It exceeded my expectations.
Mine too. And you did. You laughed out loud. So a couple of times we were laughing so hard at parts, and people are looking at us like, that's not funny. And you were talking about when the guy had razor blades in his mouth and he starts talking with these razor blades.
I thought that shit was funny. He was talking about how he got into it because he's going to get laid by this.
I'm going to get laid by this.
If I can swallow double-edged swords.
Swords.
Double-edged razors. It's going to get me laid. And just the whole absurdity of what he was saying was funny to me. So I was cackling out loud. I couldn't control myself.
And we're sitting on the stage. We're the only ones with a stage as well as the actors.
Yeah, we're back in a corner.
Yeah.
Oh, and the lights are
blaring on us.
There's
like four spotlights right in our face.
Our stage was more well lit than the Flying Cat Circus stage.
Actually, I have a clip, a quick interview of us
This is us before the show.
This is before the show. We just sat down. We just got our wine uncorked. And I turned my Arcos on. And here's what we got. We're here at Tom Britton's Flying Catch Circus Show. I'm here with Scott.
I'm Scott.
I'm John.
I'm Rick.
And we're about to watch the show. What do you say? What do you say at a time like this, Scott?
I don't know. I really don't know what to say. Oh, nice rack.
Nice.
We're getting close to showtime. We've just corked our wine, and we're sitting back and settling in for a lovely evening out.
It's out of sight.
It's not gay.
I wonder how many people here have said, look at those three guys in the corner. Those guys have to be gay.
You know what? You know what? I'm getting, you know, you got to lighten up. This happened back in Amsterdam. Those people are talking about us, and they want to kill us.
Remember that? Yeah, remember that?
I got all paranoid.
Yeah, you're doing it again right now.
Yeah. All right. That's all
cheers,
for now.
Fellas.
Hold on. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's gay.
So I grabbed this pocket-sized palmistry book and took an hour to read it.
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to the No Exit Cafe.
All right, I guess I got to shut it off there, right? Huh?
I don't know. Do we? Did you get permission from...
No.
You didn't get permission?
I didn't get permission.
Well, if we talk over it, we can still play it then, right?
Well, he's talking about his phones.
The bandwidth the cell phone uses crosses over our wireless microphones and makes a sound not unlike the demons retching up from hell.
That's right.
It is a horrible, horrible noise and very annoying. Please turn off the beeping hit machine. Other than that, also a quick word about recording. Recording's allowed only by permission.
Oh.
You'll see a camera.
See, did you get permission?
No.
Well, you only recorded the intro, right?
Right.
And right after he made that comment,
yeah,
you turned it off.
Yeah.
Right.
But it was fucking cool, man. I'd like to see their full-blown show.
Wait a minute. I thought that was
the full-blown show. He said that's their theater show. They have more of
a circus,
more of a full-blown. He said it's I guess they do more with the juggling and sword swallowing or something. I don't know.
Well, you know, we talked last week about Chicago Rock Circus.
Yeah.
And in between sets, I think it would be great to have them a couple of those bits in between sets.
Have somebody step on, I mean... I got a poster of theirs, and there's actually, if you go to flyingcatcircus.com, you can see some videos there. There's like a video. It's like a compilation video of all the stuff. There's a shot of Tom with balancing a burning like grill on his chin. Balancing
charcoal
a chainsaw.
Or gas? It's got to be charcoal, right?
Yeah, it's charcoal. It's a charcoal grill. And then he's balancing a chainsaw on his chin. And apparently he must juggle him at some point because the chainsaw he used for this show had a juggling handle on it. And, he does the walk on glass and then he lets people step on his face. He puts his face down in the glass and then lets somebody stand on the other side of his face. And he said he would have even let a John
stand on his head.
On his face.
Yeah,
his
forget
head.
The glass. I mean,
yeah, just
having
me standing,
you
on, his
standing
head
on his head
is probably not comfortable.
That's insane.
Yeah. And they do a great straitjacket bit, and it's a lot of comedy going on. It's a lot of one-liners and timing.
But there's an education as well.
Yeah.
Like when they did the straitjacket, he gave a little bit of history about the straitjacket.
Yeah.
And I really appreciated that.
Yeah.
I thought that was great.
And even threw in a little rub against string theory.
He did? Yeah. Is that because of our influence?
I don't know. I don't know.
Possibly. Possibly.
Possibilities.
Now, the other thing, John, if I can remember the point.
The point. We get to the point.
What is the
point?
I had another
off
thing
the
I wanted
bat.
To. Oh, Before the show, we talked to him about plants. And he says, no, I don't use plants. Because you were concerned that he was going to call you up.
Yeah, right.
You had that concern. And he said, don't worry about it because...
I always get called, Scott. You don't know. It's always me. For some reason, you saw, or you weren't there.
I wasn't there.
I got called at Chicago Rock Circus. You, sir,
well, you
what's
were
your
a plant
name?
At Chicago Rock
no,
Circus.
No, I wasn't. Not for the magician.
Oh, come on. Dan probably said, call
yeah,
that
call
guy.
Call on that fat fuck right
make him
in the
look
middle
like an ass.
Ripped on me yeah. 2 weeks ago.
That prick pole bastard. Smoker.
Cocksucker, motherfucker.
So we're having this conversation before the
you
show.
Cocksucker, motherfucker!
And Tom says, no, I don't use plants. I call up people because you can tell. People can tell if there's any type of relationship they can tell.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, the guy that came up with the apple had to be a plant. Come on. It had to be a plant.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, I didn't get to talk to Tom about it after the show, but I would have brought it up and said, hey, Tom, come on. That was a plant, wasn't it?
No, why would it be a plant? All the guy, all he had to do was cut his initial into a fucking apple.
Right. You and I can do that, right? But how many people? Maybe 10% of the population can
what?
Do that?
Do what?
Stand still or sit still with an apple in our mouth while he carves it up with a chainsaw.
Okay, first of all, it's an apple, okay?
Yeah.
Which is very soft and had he have slipped with that chainsaw. We didn't see that it actually cuts wood. It could be just a rubber band spinning around instead of a chain.
That is true.
You know what I'm saying?
That is a good
so maybe
observation.
It's safe, you know, and because the way
so like
it touches
if it hit his
the apple,
face is what you're saying.
Yeah, it might just
it wouldn't
give
have
him
cut
a,
anything.
Like a rug burn or something right. on his face.
Right.
I mean, it probably would still hurt, but it wouldn't like disfigure him.
Disfigure.
It'll disfigure an apple, but not his face.
Yeah, it was a great show, yeah. though. Loved yeah. it. Very intimate.
Yeah. I mean, you are right there, right up in the whole thing. So, and there is a little magic. They do, they actually, you can see, there is a clip on YouTube where they do the metamorphosis trick.
Oh, that was the finale.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did that. That was cool.
I said metamorphosis. You know, everybody's looking at me, and then he says, we're going to do metamorphosis.
Is
and
that because you had seen the clip?
Yeah.
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 All right.
No, I'm very familiar with the trick.
So if you have a chance to catch the Flying Cat Circus, we recommend it.
John
and Scott.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
It's worth every penny and more.
And more, John. And more.
It's really funny. And I thought it would be, it's very PG.
It is PG.
Or maybe even G. No, it's PG, I would say.
Yes, PG.
Yeah.
Because they talk about a goat.
Right.
Actually, they only make comments about
right.
what the...
It's an adult joke, right. but adult kids would it would just be right. Oh, yeah, that's funny. Goat. Like in the scene where James Bond is getting hit in the balls by the big...
in the balls.
Yeah, by the big... the big knotted rope.
Right.
And my son's watching this, and he goes... he's laughing, and the villain says, well, what's so funny? He's like, I'm just laughing because you're going to die scratching my nuts. And my son says, and he just started, my son falls out. He just starts cracking up. What's so funny? He said he's going to die scratching his butt. See, because nuts, he hasn't learned
nuts.
What the whole nuts thing
jewels.
Is
jewels.
Although his sister told him what nuts means, so he's keen on the nuts.
Nuts. Right.
And my daughter said something about testicles the other day.
You're keen on the nuts, too, aren't you, John?
What do you mean? Keen on the nuts. I like them. Salty. A couple weeks ago, we went out to dinner, and we were eating calamari. And my son likes it. He doesn't like the breaded. He likes the fried, but not breaded. So he likes the fried, but not breaded, or maybe it's sauteed.
Does it really matter?
I don't know. But he only eats the tentacles. He doesn't like the rubber band part.
The circle, yeah. Like the onion ring.
Yeah, it looks like foreskin. Anyway, so he...
I never thought about it like that.
He likes the tentacles, and my daughter's like, oh, those are gross, man. Oh, I hate those. Look at the testicles. Really loud. And everybody heard it, and it was a joyous time.
Joyous.
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
Oh, isn't she cute? She's 11. She said testicles.
All right, John, moving on. I posted a video you helped me with, school project, our very first video called Araby, about it, based on a short story by James Joyce. And it's really becoming popular on YouTube.
It is. Like 111 views or something now?
Try like 1,000. Okay?
Really? Okay.
Pole smoker.
Okay.
You're confusing that with my Vertigo video.
You cocksucker, motherfucker!
Where I play bass to Vertigo. That is exceeding all Kangaroo Court videos.
Wow.
But, you know, the reason is
it's
because...
probably me, because I showed it to every kid that comes over. Look at this dummy. Watch the dog.
Or it's one kid trying to figure out the song, and he plays it over and over and over again.
And he's like, what's with this cocksucker in the angles? And what, is he Quentin
editing.
Tarantino?
Yeah, douche. I haven't gotten any comments on the Vertigo bass video yet, but I did get another comment about Araby, which you so eloquently helped me with, John. Not only did we have
eloquently helped you with the Araby video.
We had to convert from analog to digital.
Right. With Dabble.
We had to wrap it all up.
It was the worst.
Well, like in 3 weeks, okay? So remember that when
or
I
dazzle,
read this.
Dazzle, not Dabble. Did
interview.
I say Dabble?
You said Dabble.
Dazzle.
Dazzle. Here's the comment I got from a user on YouTube called They Suck. They Suck says, are you a fucking idiot? I think yes. You have obviously never read the story, as you make it painfully obvious in this video. You can barely read. Oh, I'm sorry. That's They Suck made a comment about somebody else. I'm sorry. That was somebody
That's
else's.
Not it.
All right.
I'm
so,
thinking. I'm like, I didn't read that.
Right, but,
where
yeah,
does the reading part come
the
in?
The one I have one competing Araby video. So. Our video is based on James Joyce's short story. This other guy goes on and he just reads from Wikipedia about Araby from James Joyce. He just reads from the webpage.
Right.
So he's never read the book, so that's what she's commenting on. So now here is her comment. It could be a man. I don't know. It just seems like it's a woman.
Yeah.
They Suck has to say about our Araby video, John. Our Araby. Here's what she says.
Ah.
What the fuck is this artless shit?
Ah, that's
maybe
great.
If you put the same amount of effort you put into editing, into actually making it somewhat entertaining, it would not be the heaping, steaming pile of filth that it is.
Oh, man. That's deep.
From They Suck. So I go to They Suck's YouTube page. They don't. They Suck doesn't produce anything.
They Suck doesn't have nothing.
They don't have nothing.
So They Suck really sucks.
But I did leave a comment. I said, thanks. And then I heard back from They Suck. They Suck said, no problem, man. Other than that, spelled T-H-E-N, great movie. So they
other
suck.
Than as in the past.
Right. Not as in a comparison.
Other than that.
Dumbass, they suck.
Nice.
Yeah, so I got that.
I know you were really upset by that.
I was really upset by that.
Artless, wow.
Calling it artless shit.
How dare you?
How dare they? I thought it was an excellent interpretation.
How dare you?
Of the James Joyce short story.
I thought it was too.
Araby.
I watched it again the other day and it locked up my PC.
Maybe that's why she had the vile comments.
Hey, what's with the one Kangaroo Court video, Words?
Words.
It's totally out of sync.
I have nothing to do with that. What I did is I got a videotape from Rick. I converted it to digital.
It's completely in sync on the video.
It is completely in sync.
Yeah.
Out of sync.
It's in sync on the video.
No, it's not. Not the one that Rick gave me.
I have it.
Well, you got to give me your copy because the one Rick gave me is out of sync.
Where did he give it to you?
The source is out of sync.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, I have a better.
Let me
copy.
Ask you this, John. Does it really make a difference?
Yes,
it does.
It does because it's. Oh, that hurts my ears. It's good.
So, if you want to see all these videos we're talking about, go to Total Talk Nonsense and click on the media page.
Yeah.
Check out the catheter rockumentary.
Oh, that's Jesus!
It's a monumental work of art.
Monumental. Hey, there's also, speaking of catheter, Marty. Marty has a Facebook MySpace. Account.
Facebook, yes.
And he's been on the show.
Yes. Are you going to read a comment that somebody had about Marty?
No,
that made me laugh out loud?
Did something make you laugh out loud?
Yeah, somebody made a comment that Marty's picture on Facebook... looks like he's from the cast of Happy Days.
That's right. Potsy. Oh, my God. No, he has a link to something, and shit, I can't find it. He's put the entire catheter...
album. Catalog.
Album. Yeah.
With photographs. One of the best photographs I've ever seen. I'm serious. The best band photograph I've ever seen. Yes.
You're making fun.
I'm not. I wish I had that for the movie. I would have put it in the movie.
Songs like this. Witness the Betrayal.
I don't think this captures the essence of
catheter?
Catheter. Yeah. This is like a solo project.
Which one? What? Whipped cream slut?
Yeah. Feeling up Mrs. Butterworth?
Yeah, here we go. Actually, this song is played in the catheter movie. Right?
Live.
Yeah, live.
John, live. And if you're just joining us, John was the drummer for Catheter.
Catheter, yeah.
He's the one that left. He said, fuck this, I'm done.
There's only one reason why I said it, and that was because Marty had joined the Air Force.
Right.
And I was like, he's gone for like 6-8 months. What's the point of being in the band? But I just got an email, and everybody in the band is up for a
reunion
gig. Two gigs. I think Gunther Murphy's is one of the places we're talking about, and the Elbow Room is the other.
Well, then I need to film that,
yeah.
And then that would be like special features on the DVD.
Yeah, yeah.
The DVD!
Special features.
Hey, you know what? Why not?
Are you guys going to get Kevin back?
They're trying to.
Really?
And if we can't, Brian's going to sit in. We're going to bring the Reverend Weed back.
The Weed. Wow, that's exciting news, John. Why didn't we open the show with that exciting news that Catheter may get back together for a reunion gig?
I don't know, but we're going to have to link to this website that has all the tunes on there for our fans to listen to.
Marty's Facebook?
No, it's not the Facebook. It's a website for listing bands.
Right. I don't know why you guys don't sign up with iTunes or whatever.
I don't know.
People actually pay 99 cents. Just give it away.
This is Feeling Up Mrs. Butterworth. I hide my face because I'm a sticky freak.
Hey, do you ever play this stuff for your kids?
No.
Will you ever?
Eventually, yeah.
Yeah.
Here's a tune, Machine Girl. This is about a, actually, the idea behind it was about a chick from work that I hated. And it turned out to be a song about a blow-up doll.
Wow.
Yeah.
Metamorphosis.
Yeah.
Adult goof rock.
Jim. Yeah, adult goof rock. Goofy shit. Goof rock. Goofy rock shit.
All right, John, moving on.
Moving on.
Moving
Scott.
On. I don't know if you know, but the Pope, Pope Benedict, has been in the United States for the past week. Did you know that, John?
Yeah.
We talked a little bit last week about Pope Benedict, that when he was John Ratzenberger? No, that's the guy from Cheers, right? What was his name before he was Pope Benedict?
It was Ratzenberg or something.
Ratzenberg, but it wasn't
it was
John.
Hitler Youth.
Yeah, Hitler Youth. And at the time when the pedophile priest scandal was breaking, he was the guy who detailed how to cover the whole goddamn thing up.
Yeah.
He was the one who figured out how to shelter these guys in the church. And what's interesting is, so he comes over here to the United States, John.
United States.
And the first thing he says when he gets off the goddamn boat is, Pope Benedict XVI said the Catholic Church very badly handled the scandal involving pedophile priests and told U.S. bishops it is crucial to protect children from sexual predators. The pontiff, speaking at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception. Well, that's a mouthful, isn't it? In Washington, said the bishops need to promote moral renewal that encourages proper sexual behavior. What is proper sexual behavior, John? Can somebody define that for me? Proper sexual behavior?
I don't know.
Do you think the Vatican works on that right now? Like they have a book titled Proper Sexual Behavior, and they're detailing what that is?
Like 20 podcasts ago, I talked about how they pulled out this insurance policy for like $2 Brazilian so they could cover their sexcapade offenses, their lawyers' fees. And somebody had said in the news about this that the reason why he's on this world tour, this this PR tour, is because the Vatican is a business, and the business is failing right now.
It's a business and a country, yeah. John.
It's a business and a country, and it's starting to go down the tubes.
Well, people are finally waking up.
Yeah.
You know, the Beatles, John Lennon said, we're more popular than Jesus Christ, and he was saying it because it's absurd that a pop band would be more popular than Jesus. And people down south took it the wrong way. But to me, when I interpreted it, I said, well, yeah, of course you are. Who would believe in Jesus Christ, this fairy tale?
Yeah.
But it and we did some stories on England. In England, it's like 50% of the people
right
believe in this fairy tale. We're in the United States, it's like 90%.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. So here's what the Pope had to say. While it must be remembered that the overwhelming majority of clergy and priests in America do an outstanding work, John, in bringing the liberating message of the gospel to the people entrusted to their care, it is vitally important that the vulnerable will always be shielded from those who cause harm. Okay, so that's one of his first speeches. Then a couple days later, guess what Benedict does? Guess, John. Guess what he does. Just guess. Go ahead.
He rapes a boy?
No, that's way off.
Oh.
Pope Benedict XVI has criticized U.S. bishops for their handling of child sex scandals, saying their their response to the crisis had sometimes been very poor. He laid part of the blame for the crisis, which he feels deeply ashamed, on a breakdown, get this, John, on a breakdown in U.S. values.
Oh, God.
On his first official U.S. visit, the Pope said he hoped the time of trial would help start a church purification. Okay, so he's the guy responsible for covering it up.
Yeah.
And now he's going to blame the U.S. is losing its moral compass for this shit. What the fuck do you and I have to do with this? We have nothing to do with this.
Nothing. All of a sudden, it's our fault.
Yeah, it's our fault now.
It's our fault that the priests can't keep their cocks in their pants.
Go back to Rome, prick. That really pisses me off.
Frost your ass.
Frost my balls.
Hey,
my nuts.
Speaking of balls, I got to take a piss, man. We need to take a break.
One thing before we get to break. I think I heard this on Bill Maher. How do you say the guy's last name? Bill Maher. So he does a show on HBO, and he said, wait a minute. What if, let's think of the Catholic Church as a business, right? Now, let's say a business, they were in cable. A cable business, and they had people coming installing cable at your house, and they were molesting your kids, and it went all the way up to the top. They would all fucking be in jail, and they would no longer be in business.
Right.
But no, not the Catholic Church. They can continue doing this shit. They can take out insurance policies for pedophilia and still get away with it.
Yeah.
How does that happen in today's world, John? You tell me.
Separation of church and state.
Is that why? So the state can't go after them for being pedophiles?
Well,
they're their own. Well, they are their own nation, right? The Vatican.
Right.
It's a goddamn joke.
It's a joke.
This Pope. Dick.
Pope
being a
smoker.
Dick. 16.
Smoking Pope.
Nazi youth.
Fuck.
Ass.
Cock smoker.
All right, man. So,
you cocksucker, motherfucker!
We're going to take a break. And what are we going
to
hear on the
show?
So,
what do you want to listen to? We got, I can put in Blitzkrieg Bop into Not Gonna Take It or Blitzkrieg into Jenny. Be a long one.
Let's do Blitzkrieg into Not Gonna Take It with the information that Not Gonna Take It is one of our very first attempts at this song. I think that's that's something that we need to state right now,
yeah.
John. And just like Working Man, when we do nail it, we'll play it again later, and you'll see the progression of a solid kick-ass rock band.
Back-to-back.
Back-to-back.
Blitzkrieg Bop into Not Gonna Take It.
There you go.
By Twisted Sister.
This is from Thursday, John.
Yeah.
Thursday.
And we'll be right back. I gotta take a whiz, fill our drinks, and we'll be right back.
Hey, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Serious.
Yeah.
Total Talk Nonsense.
With John and
With
Scott.
With John and Scott. That was practice last Thursday. Wow. Wow, that's something, ain't it?
That is something.
That is something. That's rocking. That's some rocking shit there, Scott. Dear Scotters.
I tell you what, John.
Wow.
All right, let's get into celebrity news, Sean. Then we'll talk about okay, some movies.
Are you okay, buddy?
I think so, man.
Are you 420?
No doubt. Not yet, no. Organizers of one of Britain's best-known musical festivals on Tuesday, defended their decision to book Jay-Z as their headline act after Oasis songwriter Noel Gallagher blamed the rapper for disappointing ticket sales.
Oh.
The outdoor Glastonbury Fest is a cornerstone of the British music calendar. I've never heard of it. Have you, John? But it is a cornerstone of that calendar.
I thought the Isle of Wight was like the big cornerstone.
I don't know.
It's like a 50,000. Maybe it's only it only happened once. I thought it's like a yearly concert.
We'll, like 50, our UK listeners will have to educate us because we'll have no idea.
Because I was watching some of the Isle of Wight today, and it's pretty kick-ass.
You know, I wanted to go to the UK, especially
I
England.
I would love to do that and see like an Isle of Wight or some big giant
right, but
concert.
To do that, we would have to save up like
a Brazilian dollars,
our
I know.
Annual salary.
This country's going down the tubes. We're third world, man.
Third fucking world.
I bought the new book. It's not that new, but it's a Naomi Klein, The Shock Doctrine. First 10 pages, I'm horrified. I thought I was reading Stephen King.
Horrified.
Horrified.
Anyway, the outdoor Glastonbury Fest is a... Oh, I read that. But it has yet to sell out this year, John. In contrast to the past years when tickets were snapped up within hours, Gallagher, whose band headlined the festival in 95 and 2004, said rap was to blame. He said, John, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If you break it, people ain't gonna go. I'm sorry, but Jay-Z, no chance. I am not having hip-hop at Glastonbury. No way. No. It's wrong. No.
Cockney.
Organizer Emily Evis says the 38-year-old festival had a long history of attracting rap acts, including Cypress Hill and The Roots. She just says that she thought Jay-Z was absolutely the right act for the festival. So now here's where our UK listeners can participate and let us know. Is Jay-Z the right act for this festival?
Yeah.
I would say no.
No.
Is Jay-Z the right act for any
Anything.
Festival? Is what I'm saying, John. No. Come on.
Jay-Z.
I just go away with Beyonce.
I don't like rap at all. Well, I take that back. I kind of got into...
I like Public Enemy.
Yeah. I like the old school rap.
Old school. Right on.
80s rap. I don't like the new shit. Sometimes it doesn't sound like rap.
You know what I mean? You say old school, you mean like Vanilla Ice?
No. It's not rap at all. That's like somebody should have wrapped up a shotgun and shot that asshole. I'm joking, of course. What was his name?
Vanderwink.
Vanderwinkle.
Vanderwinkle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was, I'm thinking about, what's his name? The Slim Shady.
Slim Shady. Yeah. Eminem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a good rapper. Did you ever see that, 8 Mile?
I did not see
it. It's a good movie, man.
I did not see it. No.
I couldn't believe how good that movie is. And that guy, that kid can act. Or he's not acting, he's just playing himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he's fucking great. And Kim Basinger
is
plays
his
mother.
Right?
And
yeah,
she plays
MILF.
A great drunken whore.
Yeah, like meth mouth?
Yeah.
Or just
well,
drunk?
Well, she's just all fucked up and depressed. And,
yeah.
doesn't really says that he's a loser for even thinking in a career like that. And towards the end of the film, Eminem really proves his
cojones,
yeah,
his balls,
his prowess,
yeah,
his
prowess.
Rapping prowess, especially when he gets into the.
Let me ask you this, John. You know the difference between rap and hip hop?
No,
I do.
Is there any difference?
Yeah.
What's that?
Rap is music. Hip hop is a way of life. Okay. You cocksucker. Get with it, all right? I'm glad I had the opportunity to educate you.
Yeah.
You cocksucker, motherfucker!
All right, so UK, let us know if Jay-Z was the right choice for the Glastonbury Fest. And if any of you have ever been there. Yes. You know, if we do go over there, we're going to have to, just like Pauly B and Tony, we're going to have to crash at their place. Or a Stefan C.
Right.
Because we can't afford staying at a goddamn hotel.
I don't think there is a Pauly B place to stay because he's like all over the place.
What are you saying?
He's a drifter.
Well, he's got a club, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a back room at the club. We can put some cots in or something.
Some cots.
Cots. Right on.
Well, he was staying at Tony Hearn's place for a while.
Oh.
Wasn't he?
Was he?
Oh, yeah. For quite a while.
That. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and
it's
he bought some like nice comforters and stuff, and Tony used them as towels or something. That's what I heard. I don't know.
All right, moving on. Celebrity news, John. Tom Cruise back in celebrity news. How could he not?
What? You got to be kidding me!
I'm not kidding. AIDS. Tom Cruise doesn't have AIDS. What they mean is. AIDS close to Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes have dismissed reports that the couple is planning a trial separation as absolutely false. An article in the new issue of the magazine In Touch declares Holmes plans to move to Manhattan from Los Angeles with the couple's daughter, Suri.
They're going to move to New York?
No, just she's going to move to New York.
Wait a minute. Back that up.
Yeah. Say what?
The wife is moving to New York with the kid.
With the baby. Katie, their headline said, Katie wants her life back. As the three-year anniversary of her first date movie star Tom Cruise looms on April 29th.
This is true? She's actually moving or they don't know?
Well, here's the deal. Sources claim the actress is tired of dressing up as Miss Cruise and playing the perfect wife in public. One insider tells In Touch, of course, Katie still loves him. Tom, of course. But she does often feel like the little wife that has to sit there quietly and smile serenely at everything he says.
Well, that's the wife's job. Sit there and smile. I was just telling Special Ed's wife that today. I said, your job is to sit there and be barefoot and cook the meals.
And smile.
And then my wife gave me the finger. So
really?
I don't know what that meant. I'm number one, I guess. She knows I'm number one.
But the aides of Tom Cruise insist all talk of a broken marriage and an unhappy Holmes is ridiculous. The spokesman says she and her husband enjoy a close and loving relationship. She'd love to go to Broadway and show the world she can act. All right, so the fact remains that she and her daughter are moving to New York and Tom Cruise is not. You tell me if that's a functional relationship, John.
Not at all, man.
Of course
it's
not.
Insane.
You can't act in Hollywood? You have to go to New York to act?
Well, the whole relationship is an act.
Look, it's a trial separation is what I'm saying. Trial separation.
And that kid looks 100% like Katie Holmes, 0% Tom.
Here's what we got to do.
Unless they extracted, like, sperm from his nuts.
We got to call
allegedly.
Katie Holmes.
I'm just kidding, Tom. Don't sue us.
We got to call Katie Holmes and say, hire us, all right?
Yeah.
To go to New York.
Do you think we could get an interview with her?
Why not?
Nobody can get it. What do you mean, why not? Nobody can talk to
her. She's moving to New York.
There's not a
John.
Fucking. Well, we could go see the Papooch.
Now, the
stay with him for a while.
Scientologists, it's been well documented their scare tactics if people try to leave their goddamn cult. Imagine Katie Holmes moving to New York, the kind
there's,
of shit that they're going to pull.
There's no way they'd pull that.
On a daily basis.
She's a celebrity.
Bullshit.
They wouldn't
bullshit.
Do it.
They're still
they
going to intimidate
it.
Her.
Intimidate her?
Yeah, they're still going to intimidate her.
They're
going to
bring in the intimidator?
Yes, the intimidator. Fuck you, asshole.
Follow me if you want to live.
I'm telling you, they're going to...
I'm the intimidator.
Tray some shit on
you
her.
You cocksucker, motherfucker!
In my opinion, this is a trial separation.
Yeah.
And without Scientology's interference, it's a done deal. She's done. She's moving on.
Right.
Scientology gets involved. They start intimidating her. She'll be back with Tom.
Right.
That's what I'm saying, Sean. That's all I'm saying.
The good news, well, you never know. She's... in New York, so she's, I don't know if she's closer to her family, but that means there's time away so they can get to her and convince her to get out of that psycho fuck of a relationship.
Right.
With that lunatic.
And again...
And I'm not saying Tom's a lunatic.
No,
it's,
he
it's
is.
All,
no, he's a lunatic,
I'm,
allegedly.
You know, allegedly. I have nothing to back that up with.
And again, our whole theory on his attraction to Scientology is he's allegedly a gay man.
He's a gay, allegedly.
And Scientology was able to convince him that they could make him un-gay, right? So however they convinced him he could not be gay anymore.
I'm cured!
He thinks he's cured, but he's not. He's really attracted to men. And so he goes through this fake marriage, has fake, well, they're real kids.
Respect the cock, Scott.
But really, he still yearns. Is that a word? Yearns?
Yearns.
And lusts
it's
for
what you,
men.
It's what you put dead people in.
That's an urn.
Oh.
I didn't say he earns for men.
That's my dead cat up there, and it's yearn.
So
nice.
That's... So Scientology, not only that, but the coincidence of his career taking off when he
you
got involved with Scientology. I said coincidence, John. Listen, get the shit out of your ears.
Coincidence.
It's this microphone,
that
I'm telling you.
Pile of shit.
If I had my V2 Pro, this wouldn't be an
get
issue.
Get a fucking microphone that worked, motherfucker!
All right, turning to movies, John, you saw a movie.
Yeah.
What'd you see, man?
I saw... Well, you've seen Alien and Aliens and Salians and, you know, every alien movie there is, right?
No, I've only seen the original Alien and Aliens. I refuse
okay.
to see the other one.
I've seen all of them.
Even though somebody we know worked on
yeah.
the other ones, I refuse to see
them. He worked on Aliens, The Apology.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I've seen them all. I've seen Alien, Aliens, Alien 3, Alien 4, and then I've seen... You've seen the Predators, right?
Yes,
Predator 1, Predator 2.
Yes.
Then there was AVP, Aliens versus Predator.
Oh,
saw that. Went to the theater with the wife.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I've heard about that.
It was lame.
I didn't see it. No.
Then I heard, I don't know who I heard it from, somebody said, oh, dude, Aliens versus Predator Requiem is fucking awesome. So I was, oh, I'm like, I gotta get this DVD. So I bought it. Watched it. Oh, my God. What a piece of shit.
Really?
Yeah. The whole thing is...
Would it end up on your top 10 list?
Of pieces of shit?
Yeah, movies you fucking hate?
No, I don't think so. But I didn't... it was like... here's the deal. It opens up with a dad and his son, and they're out in the woods, and they're deer hunting. And in the meantime, there's a spaceship flying overhead filled with a bunch of predators. And one of them happens to have swallowed an alien egg or something. And an alien pops out of its chest, and the ship of predators was taking. They had visited the alien planet, and they're taking back those little spiders that jump on your face,
right, right,
and dump the eggs down your throat. They're taking those back, and apparently one of them ingested one of these eggs, and it pops out of its chest, and it turns into a alien slash predator.
Oh, it's a combo.
Yeah, so it's an alien with the dreadlocks.
That's
so
awesome.
Somehow it starts running around and killing a bunch of predators on the ship, and the ship crash lands within a few feet of these two hunters. And right away, the little spider guys get out, and they jump the hunters. So this like 10-year-old boy and his dad get jumped by the spiders, and the dad shoots one of them, and the acid burns his arm right off. And the kid gets a spider on the face. And later on, the dad, an alien pops out of his chest and then out of the kid's chest. So that was kind of cool. You know, finally they, you know, it's always been taboo to hurt children in a scary movie, right?
And they're mixed breed.
Yeah. So, well, these aren't necessarily mixed breed, because these are the ones that escaped from the, they're like in, you know, in those mason jars or whatever. So they were taking them back to their planet for experimentation. So this was a predator ship, and they spilled over and they escaped.
Hey, man, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
You didn't like this movie, but we're spending more than 5 minutes on it. Why is that?
Anyway, to make a long story short, they spend like more than half the movie like trying to develop all these fucking characters in it, which totally sucked. Then towards the end of the movie, at some point, this predator gets a distress call that he needs to fly to Earth and find out what the deal is. And he finds out that all these predators, or this one predator, attacked everybody on the ship. The ship crashed. So he's going to get some revenge, and he's going to fuck up this predator slash alien that's running around creating havoc. But this guy is so potent that he could fire like 50 eggs in you, and within 10 minutes you pop out like 15 aliens. So the whole town is filled with aliens, like 100 of them in no time. And they're running all over the place, and everybody's shooting them, and it's fucking horrible.
So wait a minute, you purchased this?
Yeah.
On
so I'm going to give it to you, and you can check it out.
All right. Who's the one who said you got to see
it? I don't remember.
Oh, come on.
Dude,
you remember.
Dude, it's way better than AVP, man.
Oh, dude, man.
You got to see it, man.
And
it's so dark. You do, because it's so fucking dark.
Where you can't see anything?
Yeah, and there's this one scene where this daughter, this kid, she's with her dad this whole time, and her mom comes home from the army or something. She was in Iraq or something. Comes home, there's this awkward reunion, and she's got like these night vision goggles, and the kid's messing with them at night, and she looks out her window, and there's this alien running around the backyard. She starts screaming, "There's a monster in the backyard!" The dad says, "No, there's no monster," and he goes up to the window with like a flashlight and clicks it right through the window, and there's an alien standing right there. Like, duh. I mean, they broke all the horror movie rules, you know. Let's go up to the window and look. Like, no shit. He's going to be standing right there, and he's going to leap through it and shoot his teeth into your fucking head.
There you go.
There was some quality kills, though. The predator blew off a couple of heads of two stoners in like a gun shop.
Come on.
Yeah, stoner,
what are stoners doing in a gun shop, first of all?
Stoners. Everybody gravitates to this sports place to get guns. And when they get there, they get all their guns, and these two guys appear out of nowhere, and they aim their guns at them. "What the fuck are you guys doing here? Hey, man, we work here, man. Take whatever you want. Hey, have you guys been smoking pot?" And they kind of shake their head, yeah. So they go, get over here, take some guns. They're stoned, and they're going to give them guns. So they give them guns, the Predator and aliens show up into the store, and the Predator spins around, looks at these two dudes, and they're aiming their, you know, 357 Magnums at them, and the Predator has two of those laser-guided pulse rockets on his shoulders, and he aims his laser beams at their foreheads, and just takes both of their heads off. It was great. That was the best part of the whole movie when he shot the two stoners in the head.
The best part is intellectually dishonest, John. If you're stoners, you're not going to a gun store.
I know.
You're going to stay home and watch a movie.
They were
working there. Oh, they're working.
They worked there, and they were in the back room getting
stoned.
Okay.
Now that makes sense.
They were
all
420
then.
Friendly, dude. Get with it.
I thought they got stoned, and then they strolled down to the gun store.
Hey, man.
That wouldn't happen.
Dude, let's go to the gun store, man.
No.
No, they'd be going to White Castle.
All right, well, now, you have any other comments about this?
No.
How many Spiny Normans would you give A?
-4
-4 I really want to see that.
It's so dark, too.
Yeah, Battlefield Earth.
I looked for it. I think I have it somewhere. I just can't find it.
All right, well, now we're going to talk about a worse movie than the one you just saw. And we haven't even seen this movie, but we know it's got to be absolute
shit.
We've got
to turn the tunes off for this, because... This has got to be ultra special.
It's got to be ultra special. Let's talk about the box office for this movie. It's a movie we've talked about in past shows. It's called Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed with Ben Stein. And it's this BS ID, intelligent design, creationism, challenging Darwin, the theory of evolution, natural selection. Common descent.
We're celebrating with Knob Creek tonight because it's 420.
Right on, John. Anyway, box office numbers are in. Where do you think Expelled showed up in the top 10, John? Where do you think?
Number one.
That is incorrect. No. Number nine.
Number nine.
Number nine. It did make $3 million, John. And it beat out Leatherheads at number 10.
Are you fucking kidding me?
So it beat out George Clooney at number 10.
Oh.
Now, the thing about this type of
movie...
Just
seeing George Clooney get punched in the face from the guy from The Office is worth...
did you see Leatherheads?
No, but I've seen the
preview.
Preview. Just to see that on the big screen is worth more than $3 million.
Yeah, it
came
in.
In my opinion.
Came in at number nine.
Number nine.
But the thing about this type of movie is word of mouth. These people that are totally into creationism and ID will tell their friends, and they'll tell two friends. And who knows, maybe whole churches will go. I don't know. But first week out, number nine.
I told you it was going to do good.
$3 million. For a documentary, that's probably really, really
good. It's fucking
good.
Great. It's gonna soar, Scott, because remember the Mel Gibson farce of The Passion? That made like 300 Brazilian in a week.
And it made 600 Brazilian worldwide.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. The second week will be very interesting for an Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed. Probably the shittiest movie ever made.
Well, the good news is there's a lot of negativity coming out against this piece of fucking filth garbage.
Propaganda, John. It's propaganda.
It's catapulting it.
Off of IMDb, it's got a 3.6 out of 10. Here's some of the negative reviews. This is the worst, most lie-ridden piece of propaganda I have ever laid eyes on. The producers lied to the scientists they interviewed, took Darwin's words far out of context, and generally made complete fools of themselves. Also, the speech with the standing ovation. University says that it was staged, that the audience was mostly extras brought in. Ben Stein has not been touring campuses making speeches for ID. This film attempts to blame Hitler's evil on the development of one of the most brilliant scientific discoveries in the past several centuries. And I'm going to go further, John. One of the most brilliant scientific discoveries of all time. I'm really struggling. Another reviewer says, avoid this film at all costs.
Avoid at all costs.
Another reviewer, apparently it never occurred to the makers of this movie that science just might be evidence-driven. Having said that, no real evidence is ever presented on behalf of creationism.
None.
Intelligent design. And one can't help but wonder if such proof can even be credibly produced. Well, and it can't.
The funny part is they start with the conclusion. It's all conclusion-based.
Right on, John.
They start with the conclusion, and then they go, all right, that's all we need. That's it. We have a conclusion. It's God. No, that's it. That's all we need.
We don't need to go any further.
We don't need any proof. They start with the conclusion, then they go backwards to make their argument. It's
they
completely
don't need proof.
Bullshit.
It's obvious. Their intuition tells them that everything must be designed. So we're the dopes.
Well, this is what Jeanette Katsoulis says. This is in the New York Times.
New York Times.
One of the sleaziest documentaries to arrive in a very long time. Expelled, no intelligence allowed, is a conspiracy theory rant masquerading as investigative inquiry. Positing the theory of intelligent design as a valid scientific hypothesis, the film frames the refusal of big science to agree as nothing less than an assault on free speech. Interviewees, including the scientist Richard Sternberg, claim that questioning Darwinism led to their expulsion from the scientific fold. The film relies extensively on the post hoc, ergo propter hoc fallacy. After this, therefore, because of this.
Wow.
Yeah. While our genial audience surrogate, the actor and hyphenate Ben Stein nods sympathetically.
Dick.
Mr. Stein is also a freelance columnist who writes everybody's business for the New York Times, by the way,
Scott.
He should
just change his name to Dick.
To Dick Stein?
No, just Dick, like Madonna. Dick. Just one, like
how about,
Cher.
How about Ben Dover?
No, just Dick.
Ben Dick?
Or Ima.
Ima Ben Dick?
Ima Dick.
Ima Dick. Prominent evolutionary biologists like the author and Oxford professor Richard Dawkins, accurately identified on screen as an atheist, are provided solely to construct in cleverly edited slices an inevitable connection between Darwinism and godlessness. Blithely ignoring the vital distinction between social and scientific Darwinism, the film links evolutionary theory to fascism as well as abortion, euthanasia, and eugenics, shamelessly invoking the Holocaust and with black and white film of Nazi gas chambers and mass graves. So what they do is they, I think we talked about this before, they show snippets of, as he's talking about the connection between Darwinism and Nazism, they show clips of the gas chambers and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, but there's no link. Yeah.
No. Every few minutes, familiar and ideological unrelated images interrupt the talking heads, a fist-shaking Nikita Khrushchev, Charlton Heston being subdued by water hose in Planet of the Apes.
Come on, can you really take a movie seriously if they're spraying down Charlton Heston in the Planet of the Apes? Come on.
What is that?
I don't know what that is. It's stupid.
This is not an argument. It's a circus, Scott. A distraction from the film's contempt for precision and intellectual rigor. This goes further than a willful misunderstanding of the scientific method. The film suggests, for example, that Dr. Sternberg lost his job at the Smithsonian's National Museum of Natural History because of intellectual discrimination, but neglects to inform us that he was actually not an employee, but rather an unpaid research associate who had completed his 3-year term.
Right on.
Yeah. How about that?
Yeah, it's goddamn ridiculous, John.
Shit. Anyways, I have a this is off of YouTube. It's a 2-minute clip. So please indulge me here while I cue it up.
You know, there's one thing I wanted you to grab off of YouTube as well. Ben Stein was on Hannity and Combs.
Yeah. I don't have that, but
you gotta search for it.
Well, you need to listen to this, Scott.
I'll listen to this.
I don't think you've heard this before, but this
I may or may not have.
This is fucking despicable. Check out what this woman has been up against. Oh, what the hell was that?
New York Times, December 4, 2007, editorial, Evolution in Texas. Is Texas about to become the next state to undermine the teaching of evolution? That is the scary implication of the abrupt ousting of Christine Comer, the state's top expert on science education.
I was just doing my job. I just forwarded an email of an upcoming lecture, and that was the simple fact of it. Then I got a phone call from my immediate supervisor, and she said, we're having a meeting tomorrow, and we need you to be there. I said, absolutely. So imagine my surprise when I get there and they give me a memo of termination. When first happened, I was so embarrassed. I didn't want anyone to know. I was going to go quietly into that good night. But I felt like I had to fight. And they said, I have until 8 o'clock the next morning to either sign a letter of resignation or I would be terminated. They actually said that I had to be neutral about the teaching of creationism. I went, what? I said, are you serious? This is over creationism? I thought, how can I remain neutral on something that is non-science? I got emails from people in Paris, in Hawaii, in Alaska, in London, and former students contacted me and they said, Ms. Comer, you know, keep on fighting. Stand up for the kids of Texas. I used to think it was just a radical fringe group, but it seems like now it's part of the political scene here in Texas now to back a group that is anti-science.
How about that?
Well, it is Texas after all. I mean, come on. What do you expect from Texas?
It doesn't matter. It's what do you mean? Our president is
ex-governor
of Texas. Ex-governor.
So it's expected that they're a bunch of goddamn dimwits. First of all, they voted for the fucking guy.
Expelled because she won't be neutral on creationism.
How could you be neutral? What she has to do is start using the Socratic method, John, and saying, okay, well, tell me about creationism. I'm all fucking ears.
She did. And they said, either sign this fucking resignation or we're going to fire your ass. Plain and simple.
So they she is fired then. They fired her.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. Unbelievable. I can't wait till some fucking asshole at my kid's school says we need to show expelled at school. I can't wait till that fucking happens.
I'm coming with you, man, with the mic.
I'm going to read some more stuff about this fucking fucked up movie. You search for Hannity and Combs and Ben Stein.
Hannity and Combs.
Combs. Now, I did find one positive review on IMDb. This is the one positive. And when I read this, just listen to this. And this guy gave it 10 out of 10. But just listen to what he's actually saying. Now, before I start, I'm sorry. Now, before I start, I'm going to say that I'm a creationist. Although I believe that God could have used evolution to create
the living things of Earth.
I'm not doing a gay voice. It's this microphone.
Oh.
And so I have agree with some of the stuff in this movie. The biggest flaw in this movie was that it would get pretty annoying at times. Now, remember, this is somebody who's giving it 10 out of 10. What with all the snide comments that Darwinists are morons and you have to be stupid to accept creationism's truth. This movie does a lot with random commentary on what people have said, Ben Stein could have proved this point in a better, less offensive way. This alone is probably the failing feature among so many. If the movie had presented the material in a not-so-offensive way, people might have been more open-minded. Not to say there would have been more Darwinists changing to creationism, but they probably wouldn't hate it so fiercely.
That's a positive review, John.
Come on. expelled producers. Somebody says they're lying and they're evil. Not only that, they placed anti-science propaganda piece ads on the Science Channel and NPR. So NPR takes their money and
spit it out.
What's the word, John? They play their ads.
Yeah.
Science Channel plays their ads. How goddamn ridiculous is that? Who at the Science Channel is taking that money? They should just say, no, thank you. It falls outside the realm of science. So we're not going to. That's like if Jerry Falwell or the 700 Club started playing ads for adult porn stores or whatever they call them. What do they call them, John? Adult
bookstores.
Bookstores.
Yeah.
Where you can get dildos and all that kind of shit. And 700 Club says, no, we're not going to play those ads.
No.
But no, Science Channel, yeah, we'll take your money. Let's play this fucking bullshit that falls outside of science. How dare them? How dare they,
John?
Well,
you know,
that's disgusting.
Shit, what was I going to say?
I don't know. What are they thinking?
I don't know.
Dumbasses.
I don't know. I don't know. I just don't know.
All right, so first of all, before I get to the last review of Expelled, somebody called in and had some comments about Expelled. Do you have that? And
yes.
Did you find Hannity and Combs
I
with
did.
Ben Stein?
I don't know if it's the same because every time I clicked on it, it said removed by the user. So I have one that says Hannity and Combs, Ben Stein battles Darwin in new documentary. Is that it?
Probably. And what's interesting about this clip is Combs is kind of coming at Ben Stein with some serious questions. And Ben Stein gets his panties in a bunch, and he attacks Combs for asking fucking questions.
Wow.
And then Hannity comes on and, like, fucking gets his lips all brown from sucking his ass.
Well, Hannity's a big fucking pussy faggot.
And it's really interesting.
I want to fight him.
The dynamic.
I want to fight that puss.
Within this one clip, the dynamic from Mr. Ben Stein.
Did you say dynamic?
Dynamic. This arrogant Ben Stein attacking a Combs and then getting his ass sucked by a Hannity.
Well, before we get to that, we have a caller that called into the show.
Let's do the caller, then I'll do my review, and then we'll do the clip, the YouTube
clip. This is an unidentified
caller. Unidentified caller. We have no idea who this caller is.
And I'm not sure exactly who it is. I think it's a 682. It's like Fort Worth, Texas.
Oh, from Texas. Yeah. We just talked about Texas.
I think it's Texas. It sounds like it's from Texas. This person has sort of an accent. I thought it was Spike. I don't think it is, but maybe it is. Maybe it's a cell phone. Here it is.
John Scott, don't talk none of this. Hey, so I was listening to the new show, and you play a clip from Ben the Fuck Chucker Stein. And if you listen to that clip, he says, well, you know, Darwin only takes a part of the way. He doesn't explain things like gravity and where the planets come from. Yeah, I don't think Darwin ever actually set out to explain where gravity came from. I thought that was, a scientist called Isaac Newton. Yeah, and then, who is this guy fucking kidding? Like, Darwin was supposed to come up with this theory that covers the entirety of fucking creation, or whatever you want to fucking call it. You know what I mean? Like, his big, you know, argument is that it doesn't tell you everything. Yeah, well, there's no one theory that tells you everything about any fucking thing. You know, I don't understand the argument. Like, how is that supposedly a solid argument that you got to ask questions about? Is this guy? Really, seriously, is he got a little bit of the downs?
Like Britney Spears?
That puts it in perspective right there for me. Does he have a little bit of the downs?
That's not Spike. I know Spike.
Okay.
When I hear
I'm
Spike.
Not sure who it is.
You know, but, it sounds like my neighbor.
I appreciate the call. Please make more calls to the show. Total Talk Nonsense. I'm sorry, TTN Jizzed. I'm a little jizzed myself right now.
It's 420, man. 420.
420, baby. Call the Skype line at 847-889-4493. 847-889-4493. And leave a message for the show. We don't care if you're fucking drunker than shit. You don't even have to say who you are. Make up a name. Say you're Dick Fitzwell. We don't care. Say whatever. But we want to hear from you. We want to hear from the listeners. Drop a line. Leave a message. Send us an email at ttn at totaltalknonsense.com. Whatever. We want to hear from you. We love when you rip on us. We love when you have an exchange of an idea, something about what we talked about in the show. Please send us your emails. Give us your voicemails. I think you're going to eventually put a link that shows when we're online, when we're doing the show, so we can actually have live callers.
Oh, right. Yeah, I need your help with that, but we'll talk about it.
Because I have no problem with setting offline. That up. We can actually have people talk on the show.
And talk.
One at a time. We can't have like 10 callers at once.
You know what, John?
What?
Our listeners don't talk too much.
They don't talk too much.
Well, there's only 12 of them, yeah. So you know who knows what they're doing. All different time schedules. They're worldwide.
I'm surprised that, you know, I started doing this Facebook thing, and I've been getting a lot of friends requests from people in the UK. And I'm not, like, surprised by it, but I'm very it's heartwarming, actually. It's heartwarming. I'm getting a little verklempt. Right now?
Well, that's because the people in the UK are fucking bright, John.
That's true.
That's because they don't believe in fairy tales.
They're like, oh my God, some Americans that get it.
Right.
As opposed to the other fucking 98%
of the dumbasses. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of that, did you hear about the W? Are we off the...
No.
Oh, shit.
I just have one...
Scott...
Did you find the Hannity and Combs? Ben Stein.
I don't know if it's the right one.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you. We'll play the first 10 seconds and I'll tell you. Before we get to that, though, Roger Moore,
before.
The guy who was in James Bond, yeah. He's now a film critic, right? So he says about this movie, this is the very last section of his review. He says about Ben Stein, when he blurts out in one interview, apparently he didn't actually sit and confront these people himself. The film is just edited that way. When he says, where's the data? You can almost hear him choke on the irony. Where's the data, Ben? Got any? Any at all? Anyone else? Anyone? Anyone? Expelled relies That's on the viewer's great. Inability or unwillingness to wrestle with the complex corner of science. Double talk. Its way toward a must-be miracle solution.
Right. Tell me what I should believe.
That science may not claim to have an answer for. Dismiss that for having no basis in fact, and you're infringing on academic freedom. That's not all, Ben. And really, when academia, the courts, the opinions of the educated have all weighed in on the subject, on that other side, who's the real monkey in this debate? Roger Moore.
That's
formerly
right.
James Bond.
One of my faves.
Nice interview. I mean review. Right on.
Interview?
All right, so go ahead and play it. I'll tell you to cut it off if it's not the Sean Hannity, Ben Stein that I'm...
talking about a gradual descent down the level of intelligibility until we reach evolutionary biology. We don't even know what a species is, for heaven's sakes.
So his theory is smoke, but elegant smoke.
There's a certain elegance to it, but, you know, I think Einstein had the appropriate remark. He preferred to leave elegance to his tailor.
That was a clip in Ben Stein's new documentary, Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed. The film offers an in-depth look at science in the 21st century, specifically the scientific community's obsession with evolution. And the great length.
One thing that's interesting about Ben Stein as well is, in the past, he's on interviews, oh, Darwin is brilliant, brilliant, beyond words, brilliant. Yeah. And
there's even
said,
a shot of him in front of the Darwin statue.
Yeah, what a dick.
and we said I heard he had an operation.
Who?
Ben Stein.
He did?
Yeah, he had an adidectomy.
Adidectomy? Is that possible?
Well, because he's such a woman. He needed one.
So in these past interviews, he's been very respectful in his words towards Darwin, but it's a bunch of shit.
Yeah,
now listen to what he says in this interview. I mean, he's starting to get angry about Darwin.
All right.
It will go to discredit intelligent design or the religious view of creation. Here to talk about the film is actor and author, among other things. Very unique career you've had, Ben. Your first appearance,
like a
finally.
Sphincter.
On Hannity and Colbert.
I've been waiting for years.
Well, we were happy to have you. We've been waiting for you for years.
I can die happy now.
This is it. This is the pinnacle.
This is it.
After all, you've done Ferris Bueller.
Now.
Can he just die?
Ben
What?
Can he just die?
Ben die?
Ben die? No, Ben he said he could die happy.
Oh.
Why doesn't he just die?
Yeah, he's
how about
happy
that?
Now.
Yeah.
So die.
Just die.
Finds money, Ferris Bueller, but this is it.
This is it.
All right. In this movie,
yes.
You go to a concentration camp where Mengele...
We went to Dachau, not to Auschwitz.
Okay.
I've been there.
And you talk about Hitler being influenced by Darwinism.
No doubt about it.
Why invoke Hitler? What are you trying to say there?
Well, our point is that Darwin, this meek, mild-mannered sage of a country estate outside London, had ideas which, when implemented, led to the Holocaust. He believed there were superior and inferior races. He believed that only fools would allow the inferior races to continue breeding. His followers and close friends in the United Kingdom said that meant we should start exterminating the Jews.
But are you implying that if you believe in evolution and Darwinism, that there's a link to the way Hitler thinks?
Today's Darwinists. No, not at all today's Darwinists. I mean, the leading Darwinists today, like Dawkins and Dennett, those people aren't even remotely in that league. But Darwinism gave the rationale for the Holocaust. There had always been anti-Semitism. There had always been racism. But to apply the idea of exterminating whole races as a good thing, as a thing that was salutary for the human race, that came out of Darwinism, and it's a frightening thing.
Yeah, but it's not what Darwinists or people who believe in evolution think. That's no way that any of us who may believe that are close or anywhere near that.
I couldn't agree more. I didn't say I didn't imply.
Bringing up Hitler and bringing up concentration camps in the film, aren't you?
No, you just implied it, Alan.
But that's what you do in the film. You bring up Hitler.
No, we brought it up about Darwin, not about you. Not about you.
But those
or
who believe in evolution.
No, you're just making that up. You just made that up. That's just not true.
Why bring up Hitler?
Because Hitler was a lineal descendant of Darwin. He wasn't a lineal descendant of Alan Colmes. I don't think you were even alive.
I understand, but the implication is there.
Well, the implication is just an implication you made up.
All right, well, that's the implication I got from watching your movie. Could there be a scientific explanation to the creation of the world?
I don't think that. Here's my point, or at least the point we make in the movie. There's no evidence whatsoever that Darwin had anything useful to say or anything to say, period, how life began.
Let's say that's true. What the fuck is your movie about? Is it just to discredit Darwinism?
It's so.
Or is it to frame the argument that creationism has some scientific basis?
It doesn't.
The fuck is he saying?
It's so goddamn nauseating to me, this whole Darwin.
It's ad nauseum, Scott.
Link is so despicable.
Oh.
To make that link. And then this guy's
just
asking him questions.
I just want to kick him in the balls as hard as I can.
Ben Stein is getting an attitude. Can you imagine if you're talking to Ben Stein and he starts to get an attitude? I would want to fucking punch that motherfucker in the face.
You're just making it up.
You just made that. Your implication.
Anyone?
Bueller?
Anyone?
Bueller?
Anyone?
Bueller?
Anyone?
How the universe began, or how gravity began, or how physics began, or fluid motion.
Shut up!
He had nothing to say about that whatsoever. So why
of course he didn't.
That to Darwinist causes? Why not say it's just as likely that there was an intelligent designer?
The great part is like he's totally bald in this interview, and he's got tons of hair in the movie.
Why not just say Ben Stein farted and created everything? Why not that? Why can't we just say that?
My fart doesn't explain anything about the planets.
You implied that.
I mean, there's no reason to believe there wasn't an intelligent designer did it.
Ben, welcome to the show. Good to see you.
Thank you.
One of the things you are exposing in this movie is educators, scientists, they're ridiculed, denied tenure, fired, because they believe that there is evidence of design.
Yes, all you have to do is say, look, how do the planets stay in their orbits? How can a cell have a million or close to a million moving parts, all of which fit together perfectly without there being intelligent design? All you have to do is ask the question, mm-hmm. and you get fired. Not always, but often enough.
You know, look, I've had many, many...
Often enough, there's no proof in that movie. There's one guy he talks
that
about...
That never worked that for the place that he supposedly got fired from.
Worked for it. Hello? Ben Stein, shove a cactus up your fucking ass.
Why can't we fire Ben Stein, huh?
I'm never watching another
fired.
Movie.
Fired.
Matter of fact, I have Ferris Bueller, and I'm cutting out the parts that he's in.
Let's burn it, John. Let's burn it.
Well, just those parts. Let's burn just the parts that he's in.
Ben Stein, anyone?
No, Bueller. Anyone? Bueller. Bueller. Anyone? Anyone? It's genius. Fucking acting genius.
Well, listen to Hannity kiss up to Stein and the rest of this
flip. Hannity kisses up to anybody that's on the right.
Debates with a lot of friends of mine over the issue of creation. You know,
actually, in this video, you can see stretch marks around his lips.
He's
late
having
at night, nothing better to do. We talk about it, but it's important to me because I do believe that there is a creator. I believe there's
too.
A God. You know, I don't know how one could look at the majesty and the sophistication and the intricacy of universes within universes and the sun and the stars and gravity and all the beauty and majesty of creation and not conclude there's a God.
How about explaining why 99% of the species is fucking extinct, you dummy?
They don't have answers. They just have criticism.
How about the beauty of collapsed galaxies and stars?
What is he talking about? Universes within universes. What is that?
He doesn't know what he's talking
about. Universes
within you. Oh, uni? Hello, universe. You fucking uni corn.
I don't know how either. I mean, Mr.
Uni cornholer.
Dawkins, this great, great atheist and Darwinist, said, well, God has kept his existence hidden. He says that in our movie. But it's not hidden. All you have to do is look at the Grand Canyon. All you have to do is look at Lake Pend'Oreille in North Idaho. All you have to do is look at...
Grand Canyon, a big fucking hole. And, wow, the beauty, the immensity of God.
Yeah, how did he create that, John? Did he spit? Did he... did he hold one nostril and blow out the other one and created the Grand Canyon? How did that happen?
Actually, what Ben Stein, ironically, in earlier clips, he says, what did God, a lightning bolt hit a mud puddle?
Well, I beg to differ, God.
Life was great.
It's me, Satan.
And actually, that's what I did. I zapped some lightning in a mud puddle and created life, because I'm God. I can do whatever I want. So,
I beg to differ.
Hey, what's up, B-Man?
It's me, Beelzebub.
Beelzebub. What's up, Bob?
How you doing, G?
I'm good. How are you?
Why don't we just take over the show? Because these fucking faggots can't do it.
Right on.
And I heard mediocre. They don't like the word faggot.
Did you hear that?
I heard about that. I was listening to their show lately.
You know, I'm not a listener, but I know everything. So I'm aware of that.
So they say. I heard that.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, Hannity was just saying the other day, the majesty of universes within universes.
Of course.
Yeah. You are.
Yes.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry to interrupt
the great God.
It's interesting that I'm all knowing, but I didn't know that you would interrupt me.
Well, you know, it's a good thing we're pals. You know what I'm saying?
Well, the other interesting thing is Ben Stein says the Grand Canyon, you can look at the cell and tell that I have an influence on the universe. But then one can argue you can look at a Ben Stein and a Sean Hannity and say, what the fuck is up with that?
Well, actually, that's a nod to your comedic side.
Yes.
Your sense of humor, if you will.
I'm really working on my, I've worked on my sense of humor for a long time.
Yes, your timing.
I really struggle because time doesn't exist for me. And right. Comedy is all about timing.
Timing.
That's right, Bob. and because time doesn't exist, it's something I really have to work on. So I create a Ben Stein, and right. I create a Sean Hannity for, because that's an easy thing for me to do, to create.
Well, it's the only way to get good PR, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Well, right. We need these right-wing wackos and people like this Ben Stein to push our agenda, if you will.
Of course.
So without them, we have nothing.
You are correct.
If there's no bodily ascension to heaven from the J-Man, we're nothing. We're toast.
That's right. Without the yin of God and the yang of your...
Actually, it's not yin. It's yin. Yes.
Of
yin
course.
And yang.
Actually, no, it is yin. I am all-knowing.
It's not yin.
It was lost in the translation.
Right.
Cut me some slack, Bob.
I know. You got the Escalade out front?
I do have the Escalade.
I think we gotta go cruising for some shit.
Yeah, we're supposed to pick up the J-Man.
Well, let's get the fuck out of here, will you? Let's hand it back over to John and Scott.
All right. I just show up, right?
Right.
But you have to actually possess John.
I got to pull myself out of his ass.
To get out of,
right.
All right, any closing words before we leave?
Thank you.
I just want to say that everybody must see this movie.
Yeah.
And if you don't, I'm going to vomit on the sun and cause global warming. All right.
And I'm going to possess your daughter.
Ooh. All right, then. Like I said, the J-Man's outside, and he's probably double parked. But
right.
It is. I don't know if you know what day it is. I'm sure you do.
Dude,
Bob.
Man.
Dude,
I'm 420 friendly.
420?
Yeah.
Well, so am I, because it's my creation. Remember that.
You know, you take credit for everything. I don't get that.
Of course, I am the creator. I
am. Spread the wealth.
The Lord.
Why can't you spread the wealth, man?
I spread the wealth.
Did you bring the papers?
No.
Who's going to roll it?
I got a bomb.
Oh, sweet.
Papers are for heathens.
Could you imagine?
Heretics.
I can't wait to smoke out of God's bong.
No.
That's out of sight.
Handmade.
Handmade from the gods.
It's very phallic.
Or just one god.
Yes, of course.
Do you
have one.
Do you see wearing that t-shirt with the big G on it?
I do.
That's my favorite.
Right on.
You got the manogram cufflinks?
Manogram cufflinks, yes.
Manogram.
Mammogram. That's right, Bob. Boy, we have a good time, don't we?
We sure do.
If people really knew our relationship.
Yeah, we got to get some hookers.
It would
get liquored up.
Really have a negative effect.
Well, what do you think the word spirits comes from? You go to a bar or a lounge, you say, we have food and spirits.
Of course, I know where the word comes from. I know everything.
You're all-knowing.
But tell John and Scott's listeners.
Spirits, you know, I mean, it's an alcoholic beverage.
Yes.
Which, you know, we partake. If you ever experience any time in a Catholic church, they're always drinking spirits during communion.
And of course, it's my creation, just as you are my creation.
I remember John reflecting on a story once when he was going to Catholic school, and he would have to take communion in the morning, and sometimes on Sunday as well when he went to church. And some friends of his would be altar boys because he wasn't allowed to be an altar boy. There's like this dribble plate they put underneath your chin. And this one guy used to hit him in the neck with it as a joke just before he was taking the host, if you will. That was me fucking around with him.
Of course, I know the story. I know everything, right. But it was for the benefit of the listeners.
I know we always try to give you a surprise party, and for some reason, we never pull it off.
You never do. No. I always know.
Let's get out of here, man. You got the blunts?
Benevolent.
Oh, that we're doing bonds, no blunts.
Omnipresent.
Omnidepressant.
I got the big bong.
You sure do.
Rhymes would you like with, me to conjure with, up some hookers?
Rhymes with dong.
That does rhyme with dong. All right, then. So everybody go see Expelled. No intelligence.
No intelligence, allowed. Period. I'm yes. sorry.
Yeah, I love Ben
Stein. It's a great PR movie.
One of my greatest creations, Ben Stein.
You know, if it wasn't for him, I don't exist. You know what I'm saying?
No, if it wasn't for me.
Well, it's kind
of
it's all
one of the commandments.
It's all tied up. If it wasn't for you, but if it wasn't for people pressing the PR, we're history. We're toast, like I said.
I will never be toast.
All right, let's get the hell out of here, man. I really need a joint.
If I will become toast,
it's 420. Shut the fuck up, all right?
Spread some jam.
What kind of a god are you?
I'm an all-loving,
you're an all-loving and a jealous god.
All-talking god.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know something? You talk too much.
I've heard that for before, god. Yes.
All right, let's go.
You know, we should get our own podcast. Oh, shit. What do you think about that?
You know what? If you got time, give it a call. Total Talk Nonsense, TTN Jizz. You know, give it a call.
All right.
We got to get
Let's get ready to rumble.
You can't say that.
I can, because I created it.
All right, let's go.
Nobody
man.
Can
let's,
sue let's me right, for copyright. Here, I've created everything.
Let's get out of here. Let's get into the escalator, right? He's waiting outside the J-Man.
All right,
let's go over to the door here.
I don't have to walk.
No,
I can levitate.
I got to walk out of his ass.
That's a long walk.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
It's like a second. Like what happened? There was like a blip or something in our the podcast here. I was playing Hannity and Combs, and there was this weird disruption.
Well, God and Satan showed up, man. And I tried to ask some questions, but they completely took our show over, which I think is not fair. It's just not fair. It's not fun.
No doubt.
It's not funny.
Wow.
Is it because we haven't invited God on in a while? He just comes and takes
over? I don't know what you're talking about.
Ass.
What are you talking about?
You'll hear it.
That's the weird thing, man. Every time I listen to the show and this fucking Satan shows up, I have no clue what the hell you guys were talking about. I mean, to me, the show's going along, we're talking, and then boom, we're on to the next subject. And boom. It's like I missed something for a second, 2 seconds or something. I listen back to the show, and there's 20 minutes of Satan talking on there. How the fuck does he get on the show? I've heard he enters my ass. I don't understand. That's a bunch of shit.
That is a bunch of shit. Literally, it's a bunch of shit.
That's one big pile of shit, man.
That is one big pile of shit. Something about possession. But I think it was extremely rude for him to just take over.
Yeah,
show.
I don't understand that. That's
one
crap.
Thing he did mention at the end was they might get their own podcast. Get your own goddamn podcast.
Finally.
If you... we've extended the invitation to God, and he doesn't show up. He just shows up when he wants to show up.
I don't know.
It's a bunch of shit.
It is a bunch of shit, Scott.
It's a big pile of shit.
Big pile of shit.
All right, then, moving on. Ben Stein's a cocksucker.
No doubt, Scott.
All right, politics, John.
No doubt.
8 out of 10 people in the Arab world have a negative view of the U.S.
No.
According to a new poll. By extension, governments supported by the U.S. are unpopular. A recent BBC Worldwide survey found views of the U.S. had started to improve by 4% globally, although they remain negative in the Arab world. Guess how many percent of the Arab world believe that the U.S. In Iraq has worked?
32?
Six. 6% of Arabs believe it was a good idea.
I'm a little off.
This was carried out by the University of Maryland at the Zoghbi International.
Zoghbi.
The majority of Arabs believe that if U.S. troops withdraw from Iraq, Iraqis would be able to bridge their own differences. Just when you thought the Democratic race couldn't get uglier, Barack Obama is being... Oh, I'm sorry, that's the next story. So, anyway... Arabs, 6% think that the U.S. made the right move.
Wow.
And the majority say, get the fuck out. We'll,
get out.
We'll take care of our own shit.
It's our fucking country.
Fucking
we don't need
to,
you to export democracy right at the barrel of a gun.
We'll figure it out.
We're a little ass backwards, but we'll get it.
Now, John, just when you thought the Democratic race couldn't get any uglier, Barack Obama is being accused of giving Hillary Clinton the finger at a town hall meeting in North Carolina.
Good.
The gesture, which may have been an innocent scratch of the face, or according to some, something more mischievous, came when Obama was
running for president
about the debate in Philadelphia the night before. Oh, did you see the debate on ABC?
I didn't see it. I saw excerpts.
I didn't see it, but it got completely panned by everybody.
It was they even booed that cock smoker George Stephanopoulos.
Wasn't he on Sesame Street, Stephanopoulos?
I don't know, but that's a snuffleupagus.
Oh, that's right. The Snuffleupagus.
George Snuffleupagus. Yeah, he was. He was a Muppet. No, he does some The Nation or I don't know, some shit, some fucked up ABC Sunday talking point. And he was one of the moderators, and the whole thing was, everybody was like, okay, we're tired of the fucking asking the questions about Reverend Wright. I don't know if you know this, but Reverend Wright was a highly decorated Marine. He jumped out of college and said, fuck this, I'm going to join the Marines and go to Vietnam for my country. And he graduated at the top of his class as a medic, and he ended up being like some sort of a medic for Lyndon Johnson. And he gave up his life to be a fucking Marine. Now, ask that question of a faggot-ass Hannity or a fucking cocksucker George W. Bush, or that big pussy Cheney. Ask that. Who's a patriot? Anybody that wears a lapel pin, I guess, is a fucking patriot.
And what a goddamn joke.
Like that, what's that, Scooter Libby? He wore a lapel pin. A fucking traitor of the United States. Cheney, a fucking traitor. George W. Bush. Traitor.
Well, that's what
being investigated for war crimes. Come on,
that's what I don't understand. Is so
the future's a joke, Scott.
The future is now, John. So Obama scratches his head with his middle finger, and it's a fuck you to Hillary Clinton. And this dominates the news when our economy is
in the shitter
and going further and further in the shitter. We're fighting this fucked up war based on lies The W has taken our constitutional rights away every goddamn day. The signing statements.
He's bent over the Constitution
the
and he's fucking it in the ass.
He's admitted that he approved torture at the highest levels, but it's not torture when you talk about the executive branch. And nobody's fucking talking about
it's
this.
It's fascism.
They're talking about Obama scratching his fucking forehead.
It's the corporatocracy. It's a corporatocracy.
It's goddamn ridiculous is what it is.
It's despicable. It fucking sickens me. But we care. We care about this country. We are fucking patriots, man. We are tired of the W bending over the Constitution and fucking it in the ass with a cactus.
Well, here's one reason to vote for Obama. Obama said that as president, he would indeed ask his attorney general and his deputies to immediately review the information that's already there and determine if an inquiry is warranted. But also tread carefully on the issue in line with his reputation for seeking to bridge the partisan divide. So he's like, yeah, let's get our lawyers to look at this. Were crimes committed? And if they were, let's go after these MFers.
But they won't because the Justice Department has dropped it like fucking 80 times.
Charges, if there was willful criminality, will be pursued because nobody, John, is above the law, according to Barack Obama.
He's right. He's right. He's the only one with fucking balls in this entire race to say it. He's the only one with cojones. And I think he was, when I listened to him on the whatever excerpts of the debates, he was just like, What fucking question are you asking me? What is this shit you're asking me? You should be asking me about the economy. What's my views on the economy?
No, they're going to ask him about a fucking lapel pin.
We're going to go up against the Republicans here, and the people want to know what I'm going to do for them. What am I going to do as president for the people? We the people. Instead, you're asking about a lapel pin. My fucking preacher. What was the other gaffe they called it? The shit he said about the people in Pennsylvania that they cling to their guns and their
elitist.
Yeah, but they forget that in Clinton's memoirs he said the fucking same thing, and Billary Clinton said screw them. To the middle class white. What have they ever done for you, Bill, when he was running for office?
There you have it.
So they didn't bring any of that shit up, but no. They want to bring, you know, fuck you, Snuffleupagus. You fucking dickhead.
Go back to Sesame Street and sell that shit to Big Bird, okay?
And they're heard being booed by the audience, by the way. There's clips on YouTube where they're being booed. They go, we're going to go to commercial, and we're going to have one more question when we come back, and the whole audience, boo, you suck! And the audience is turning on us. No shit, because you're not credible. You're a bunch of fucking chimps.
Yeah, right on, Sean.
You're not fucking, it just sickens me, Scott. There is no media anymore. I guess Paulie B and all of them are right. The BBC is the only thing out there.
There's media right here. No spin, John, right here.
We're satirical, Scott.
No spin zone.
No, this is how we stay out of the
courts.
Would
you rather get your information from Rush Limbaugh or from us?
Rush Limp Balls? Yeah. There's another big pussy. Oh, I had a pimple on my ass. I couldn't go to Vietnam. The first thing I did when I was 18 was signed up for the draft. Just in case.
To.
Yeah, we had to.
It was the law.
And if they called me, I would have went.
Oh, I would have tried to get out of it.
Not me, Scott.
I would have.
I did try to get out of when...
I would have taken the Ted Nugent approach.
You would have shit yourself?
Yeah,
like
shit myself and not...
Oh, come on.
Well, I don't bathe anywhere.
You would not have... Not me.
It depends on what the conflict was. Let's say Hitler shows up again when we're drafted. Yeah, I would definitely be in for that. Some asshole that wants world domination. But if it's over oil, so W's friends could be richer, fuck that.
Yeah, I could see your point there. But, you know, when you, yeah, draft is, well, you know, a draft would hurry up, speed up the process of ending this whole bunch of shit, this conflict. But instead, they're dragging our troops through more and more of this conflict. And you remember, we had a major. Was he a major on the show? Sergeant Major, wasn't he?
Sergeant, Marine. Yes.
And one of the things, I'm sorry, he was a sergeant. And one of the things he said, he was going to re-up because of his guys. He fucking hates the W. He hates the entire civilian part of this. But as far as military goes, he feels an obligation to his guys to protect them.
Right. Well, get this, John. Last week's violence in Basra and Baghdad has convinced the Bush administration that actions by Iran and not Al-Qaeda are the primary threat inside
here
Iraq.
Here we go.
And has sparked a broad reassessment of the policy in the region. Evidence of an increase in Iranian weapons training and direction for the Shiite militias that battled U.S. and Iraq security forces in those two cities has fixed new U.S. attention on what Defense Secretary Gates yesterday called Tehran's malign influence. Again, let's drum up the propaganda, and now let's go after Iran.
Yeah.
And when we do that, we got to cancel the elections. How about that?
You know what's? I don't know if you've heard this, but earlier in the week, Richard Belzer does a radio show. And one of the things he said, actually, it wasn't this week. It was last week. He brought up that he feels that Bush is going to do exactly that. And he wanted callers to call in and express their opinions on that very subject, Scott.
And what'd they say?
So you're not alone. I didn't stick around to listen to it. I heard him say that. And I went, oh, my God.
Well, here's the thing.
It's not Scott just talking out of his ass. There's people actually worried about this actually happening. And I've heard it more and more that martial law is a possibility, and elections will be canceled.
Well, and the thing is, the W is so goddamn concerned with his legacy. And right now, he's lame duck, and he's getting the feedback from the American public that you're a fucking chimp. So I believe, is that he really wants to convince us that, yes, no, he is a great person, and he has a great idea. And you're all wrong, and I'm right, and I'm going to show you. And I'm going to do whatever it takes to show you that I'm right. And if that means I need to attack Iran and remain president until you are convinced that I'm right, that's what I'm going to do. And that's the kind of goddamn mentality that would lead to this type of scenario.
But
and it's a goddamn joke.
He recently passed those two presidential directives, executive directives. There's two of them, and both of them at the very core said that he would take over the entire government, so it no longer would be delegated out to the branches of government, and he would actually supersede all branches of government, and it would go through the executive office. And he would, in comedy or some shit like that, he would entertain whatever advice came through the legislative and judicial branches.
Didn't this already happen, John?
Yes, it did.
In a galaxy long, long ago and far, far away. And we saw how that turned out.
Yeah. Unbelievable, man.
It is unbelievable. And then also in the news, Prime Minister Gordon Brown of Britain expressed mounting impatience Thursday with Iran for proceeding with its nuclear enrichment work in defiance of the international community. So they're starting to line up the propaganda. When are the elections? In November?
Yep.
Yeah, so they're starting to line up the propaganda. Let's see another ship taken over by the Iranian Navy. Let's see another one of those episodes and some other shit. And let's have some asshole who has no concept of anything start blaming Iran for something.
Well, they're having a difficult time, too, of trying to figure this all out because there's parts of Iraq that are totally against Iran, and then there's people that are being supported by Iran, and those people supported by Iran are responsible for the ceasefire that recently happened. And if it wasn't for Iran, there would have been this huge skirmish, and it's all fucked up. Our own troops are backing up or helping Shias that are backed up by Iran. And it's all fucked up. It's a complete clusterfuck.
Thanks, W. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, let's
much.
Make it better by attacking Iran. That'll make it better. Dumbass. Also, John, the first draft of history looks a bit rough on the W. President Bush often argues that history will vindicate him. So he can't be pleased with the informal survey of 100 professional historians conducted by the History News Network. It found that 98% of them believe that Bush's presidency has been a failure, while only about 2% see it as a success. As a success. Not only that, more than 61% of the historians say that current president is the worst in American history. In 2004, only 11% of the historians rated Bush's presidency in last place. Among the reasons given for his low ratings, invading Iraq, tax breaks for the rich, and alienating many nations around the world. How about because he's a goddamn idiot? How about that? Why can't they say that?
And they wouldn't take him seriously then, I guess.
If I was a historian, they would have to exclude me then.
Yeah.
Because I would say, look at him. He's a goddamn chimp. He's an idiot. There's no functioning going
on
Scott,
up there.
Sorry,
Scott, you're expelled.
Yeah,
you
they would kick
get
me out.
Tenure. No tenure for you.
Right.
What a piece of garbage.
Bush supporters counter that professional historians today tend to be liberal and that it's too early to assess how his policies will turn out.
Oh, those damn liberals. The damn liberals responsible for things like, the FDA, so that your food won't be tainted by botulism and E. coli.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal.
They're so brutal.
They're going to wait for his policies.
So your kids don't fucking die.
There's policies to play out. They're already playing out. The economy is in the shitter. You and I can't afford to go to England.
No. We had to go see a show where we paid $13
because
we can't go to like the United Center.
We had to bring our own alcohol because we can't afford to buy alcohol.
And I'll tell you what, Flying Cat Circus is better than any fucking show I could see at the United Center. I don't know if I could even see Kiss. That show was so fucking good. I don't know.
I don't know.
Can't see
I don't know
spending,
either.
I
can't speak for you, John.
I'm not making any sense. As usual.
You got anything else on there, John?
No, I'm good. I'm
right,
good,
then.
Man.
We're
I'm
all
good.
Oh.
Whoa. Hey.
Hold on. Let me get the door. Let's get this guy in and out.
Let's. We got to roll, man.
Come on, man. Let's go.
Hoof it.
All right. I'm back. Once he gets Jeez. Back into Mike, let's rev it up, man. You know, he
How
says
come
he's always
got
ready.
A B2 Pro.
Let's test him.
Yeah.
Just go ahead and play his intro. See if he really is.
Of course, I'm always ready. Scott! Good to see you. Good to see you, John.
With your award-winning
Sorry to talk over your bumper there, but
let me let you know
that I'm always ready.
first story tonight.
Oh.
First, Robert E. Lee lost the Southern cause. Now he's charged with creating a masturbatorium. It seems the rears that this Robert E. Lee of the 8,000 block of Crichton Parkway in Mexicansville tried guarding were not among his assigned duties, and his assistant manager at the Virginia Center Commons Sears in March 2006. No, the rears in question were trying on bathing suits in a ladies' dressing room, above which Robert E. Lee had taken up a scouting post. The action was already earned Lee two convictions for peeping. Now Lee's being sued for $7.2 million. Oh, that's funny, John. That's federal currency, not Confederate bonds. The facts. One of Lee's victims, this is not funny, John, a prepubescent girl, happened to glance up to notice Lee was watching through the ceiling tiles and reported it to store officials.
Ceiling tiles?
After Lee surrendered to Henrico police, investigators discovered the Sears manager had created a makeshift masturbatorium from the service platform just above the ladies' dressing room.
Man.
It appeared to investigators that the prefab peeping hutch had been in use for quite some time. The victim's lawsuit alleges and that Lee admitted to watching the girl and her mother trying on bathing suits. John, you may ask, how did they know it was a masturbatorium? During the search of the room, police officials recovered sexually explicit magazines and seminal fluids.
Oh.
Initially, Lee was charged with four misdemeanor counts, two each for peeping and masturbating in public. When he entered pleas for no contest, it was only to the two charges of peeping. The current civil action is actually two lawsuits, each asking for $1.35 Brazilian. Both Lee and Sears are named as defendants. In related news, man charged with drilling hole in wall of golf range bathroom and videotaping customers gets off. Also, his case was dismissed. Next story, John. In a definitive sign of progress in Iraq, Iraq police begin to enforce seatbelt laws.
What?
I think it's time we all called it a success. Mission accomplished, John. Next story, John. This is a TTN PSA, a public service announcement. It's best to stay passed out after drinking too much in a known sex offender's home.
What?
Stephen Mitchell, 24, told a psychiatrist he attacked Lindsay Martin and set fire to his flat after waking from an intoxicated sleep to find himself in a state of undress, with Martin giving him unwanted oral sex. In setting a maximum term of 9 years in the new SW Supreme Court today, Justice Rudrick Howie noted Mitchell told another psychiatrist he awoke to find Mr. Martin fellating him. This claim is supported by the fact that the deceased was fully clothed but with his false teeth in his pocket, a judge said.
God.
Mitchell, 24, pleaded guilty to arson and to manslaughter of Mr. Martin, 73, on grounds of provocation. Mr. Martin, a returning serviceman, died from extensive head injuries inflicted with a hammer in the early hours of November 16, 2005, at his unit in Guami. Father Chris Riley, founder of the Youth Off the Streets charity, rhymes with get off, gave evidence of trying to help Mitchell, describing him as a role model when not consuming alcohol.
Totally lost this whole story. What do you say? Well,
next story, John.
The prose, the way you say it.
Next story, John. Is, yes, very. That's why I'm award winning. God works in mysterious ways, John. A 30-year-old woman caused quite a commotion Wednesday evening when she decided to direct traffic at a D-Land intersection. Rather than keeping traffic flowing through the intersection of West Euclid and South Orange, the woman's was creating a bit of a hazard, police
said because she was topless. The Dillon police received a number of calls at 7 p.m. responding to find a woman foaming at the mouth and talking to herself without her top on. The Dillon woman told police that God told her to direct traffic. She was taken to an area hospital for mental evaluation. In related news, boy claims God saved him from flash flood. Regrettably, six classmates and his teacher slipped through God's fingers. Next story, John. Surgeons can now remove your appendix through your mouth. In related news, now to be outdone, dentists looking into whitening your teeth through your ass. In related news, remind me never to get an ass operation in the Philippines.
An assectomy?
Peyton. I'm sorry. I'm glad that amused you, Scott. Patent gets perfume canister stuck inside his ass. I'm sorry, no, that's I'm sorry, that's patient. Phil, man, you cracked me up.
That's right, Scott.
Patient. A patient gets perfume. In related news, Sean, remind me never to get to my ass operated on in the Philippines. Patient gets perfume canister stuck inside his ass. Surgeons remove it while laughing boisterously, videotaping it and uploading it later on YouTube.
I'm going to throw up. Next story, John.
Oklahoma sheriff could face 467 years for a wet t-shirt contest and some other stuff. Authorities have charged a Western Oklahoma sheriff with coercing and bribing female inmates so he could use them in a sex slave operation. Custer County Sheriff Mike Burgess resigned Wednesday just as state prosecutors filed 35 felony charges against him, including 14 counts of second-degree rape, 7 counts of forcible oral sodomy, and 5 counts of bribery by a public official. Burgess, a top officer in the county of 26,000, appeared in court Wednesday, was released after posting $50,000 bail. We are stunned, Undersheriff Kenneth Tidwell said Thursday. Attorney Stephen Huddleston said that he was not had a chance to review all the allegations against his client, but said that Mr. Burgess is anxious to go to court and clear his name. A federal lawsuit filed in October claims Burgess told one drug court participant he could have her sent to prison if she didn't comply with his sexual demands. A lawsuit filed by 12 former inmates alleges the sheriff's employees had to engage in wet t-shirt contests and offered cigarettes to those who could flash their boobs.
Nice.
He could be sentenced to 467 years in prison if convicted on all counts. Special prosecutor James James Boring said. Next story, John.
Patent.
Chelsea Clinton mobbed for pictures during a gay pub crawl in Philly.
Nice.
One girl brags, I grabbed her ass. Next story, John. Man attains hero status. Rescues woman by falling 25 feet down a shaft. A man who plunged 25 feet down a lift had his fall broken by a woman who had fallen down the day before. Jens Wilhelms, 27, managed to free himself from the shaft at the apartment block in Frankfurt, Germany. But the 57-year-old woman that he landed on was badly injured and is in crucial condition at the hospital. Next story, John. In one of the best ideas of this century, London police believe that putting clergymen on buses will prevent unruly behavior from teenagers. In related news, clergymen excited at the prospect of supervising teenagers and focusing their unruly behavior. Next story, John. Swedish doctor checks tighty-whities for extra tube steak. Authorities in northern Sweden have discovered that some drug abusers have been using false penises to help them submit fake urine samples. Private physician Leo Hassler said they had to change his procedures from patients coming to give urine samples. If they need a clean sample to return their driving license forever, for example, the doctor...
The doctor
said he made sure to double check the authenticity of the patient's organ. Mrs. Huygens, ever since I became aware of this false penis creating method, I check their underpants to ensure there is only one penis. Hessler told the Norlandeska Social Democraten newspaper. Next story, John. Bushes, John. The worst thing in the history of our great country. Fact number 3,564. Florida, formerly run by Jeb Bush, pushes 300% cigarette tax increase. For health reasons.
God.
The fact that they're projected to be $3 billion in the red might have something to do with it as well.
Another Bush
billion. Next story, John. Pope Benedict XVI, vows to bar pedophiles from the church. And related news, as job growth has come to an abrupt halt, non-pedophile priests soon to be in very high demand. If such a thing even exists. In additional news, John, stop, drop, and roll doesn't work in hell. Next story.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Prince William in trouble for performing cunning stunt for his girlfriend. Prince William was under fire again after it emerged that he had landed his $10 million RAF helicopter in girlfriend Kate Middleton's backyard during an official military exercise. Miss Middleton and her parents are said to have watched in delight as the second in line to the throne practiced a series of takeoffs and landings in the paddock of their sprawling detached home in Bucklebury, Berkshire. Details of the two-hour stunt emerged just days after the prince was heavily criticized for using another Chinook to fly himself and his brother Harry to a stag weekend on the Isle of Wight.
Nice.
I bet you Pauly B's right? happy about his tax dollars going to that.
Is it Isle of Wight?
Isle of Wight.
Oh, I thought it was White.
Isle of Wight. That is correct, John. Next story, John. Two women report ghost as having sex with them. Two women went to the Federal Way police station claiming that over the past 2 years, a paranormal person has been placing sensors on their bodies and visiting them in their house at the 2800 block of 25th Place South. They said that the ghost has been having sexual intercourse with them. One woman said that these incidents started in Kent and continued when she moved here. The other woman said that this just started now. Both women comment that the ghost is very well endowed. Next story, Todd. And this is our last story. Next and last story, John. When police ask how much he's had to drink, trucker responds, a shitload. A 54-year-old truck driver is looking at a career change after being caught drunk behind the wheel of a tractor trailer in December. John Donnellan pleaded guilty in Kingston, Ontario, Court of Justice to impaired driving and refusing to comply with the police demands for a breath sample. Asked how much he had to drink, LaHarris said he responded, a shitload. and told police he was an alcoholic. He was arrested for drinking and driving. But when police tried to take breath samples to determine how intoxicated he actually was, he refused, telling them that, "I'm way too fucking drunk. I've been drunk all my fucking life." And repeated that he was an alcoholic and a fucking idiot. And that's the news, John. Thank you, John. Thank you, Scott. I got to run. I got some shit to do. All right, then.
Thank you, Phil.
My pleasure. All right, then.
Good to see you guys. Sorry to give the news.
Just get out.
Let's go.
Get out.
Later. All right, John. That brings to a close episode 128.
Yes, it does.
Right on.
Are we going out with the 420 bang?
Let's go out with, this is, because it's 420, we're going to go out with Stoner Clip number 2.
Number 2.
From John and Scott, Total Talk Nonsense. This was a collection of intelligence judgment. It was relied on by the harbor prior to administration and the other world leaders in Congress.
Are you okay, dude? What's wrong with you, man? Are you all right, man? Jesus Christ.
I'm totally fine, man.
You start slowing down. You start on on Congress.
What the fuck? It's for dramatic effect.
Holy crap.
Okay? You fuck face. Former North Carolina senator and Democratic vice president. John Edwards.
Wait a minute. Did you say Democrapic? Democrapic?
I don't know. I might have.
Are they Demi Crappers?
God damn it, this is important. Had I known at this time, I would never have voted for the war, Edwards wrote. Senior. Senator. Come on, man. John Edwards wrote in a Washington Post editorial column today that his vote in favor of an October 2002 joint resolution authorizing the use of U.S. armed forces against Iraq, it was based on, quote, John, inaccuracy, intelligence. Had I known at this time, I would never have voted for the war, Edwards wrote. Well, the senator, Jay Rockefeller, also blamed faulty intelligence for his vote. I would never have voted yes if I had known what I had known today, the senator said. Whoa. Wow. You know what we gotta do? We gotta stop this right now. Who's gonna listen to this?
That's it. That's right.
All right, we got to stop. I can't go on.
No, we don't.
No, I can't. What?
Fine. What do you mean?
I can't go on.
You can't go on to do what?
Ooh. All right, let me try to go on. A 37-year-old Saratoga Springs man is accused of putting a roasted chicken in his pants as a means to steal it on Tuesday evening at the Price Chopper on Railroad Place.
John. So that's one way to stuff a cock in your pants.
No doubt. John Moron Hand of 6B Make Your Own Way was charged with petty larceny. Mr.
You bitch! You all right,
that, that's very funny, John.
on film. Wrap it up. Film next year.
Well, thank you, Scott.
I try.
I think I have a contact high. Does anybody have some barbecue chips? All right, then. Next story. Or did I even finish the last one? I don't think I did.
Holy shit.
You're listening to John and Scott.
On Total Talk Nonsense.